Talk Station.
KNRC News Time, 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. Question for Democratic presidential contender John Kerry. Who's going to be your running mate?
It's a great day.
Not quite a no comment, but the effect is the same. Sources say Kerry has the list down to two or possibly three names, and he may make his announcement as early as tomorrow. John Edwards and Richard Gephardt said to be on the short list, but Kerry won't confirm or deny it. There are unconfirmed reports several people were killed in an American airstrike on the Iraqi city of Fallujah. U.S. troops have been hitting suspected terrorist targets there, trying to kill Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. A strategy session for some of Saddam Hussein's lawyers. They've gathered in Libya to plan his defense. Muammar Gaddafi's daughter, who's a law professor, is on the team. Iraq's new prime minister says he'll let the court decide if Saddam should be executed. American military families are getting ready to leave Bahrain after reports terrorists are planning attacks in the Persian Gulf nation. About 650 people expected to get out. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
If you've been waiting for a sign, it's the banner in your Lincoln Mercury dealer's window, inviting you in right now for the best deals of the year during the one and only clearance sales event at your Lincoln Mercury dealer. Come in now for low financing or big cash back on top of your dealer's best model year-end price on every Lincoln and Mercury car, SUV, and minivan during the one and only clearance at your Lincoln Mercury dealer.
What if you could see five signs of improved health in just 4 weeks' time? Signs like silky hair, healthy vitality, a toned body with strong, firm muscles. You'd wag your tail and shake your soft, shiny coat. Well, you would if you were a dog. Feed your dog Iams and begin to see signs of a healthier pet in 4 weeks. Stronger, shinier, healthier. That's a lot better than just a wet nose. Try Iams. Start those 4 weeks today and get those tails wagging. Iams. Good for life.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 81 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Police are looking for a suspect from an officer-involved shooting. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Even though it is a holiday, we've got one big traffic problem in town. It's southbound I-25 in the Mousetrap. Naturally, lanes 3 and 4 blocked because of an accident. An awful lot of emergency equipment on the scene there. They are checking at least 4 people for injuries. One time we were told nobody was injured. Apparently that's not the case. Anywho, traffic is jammed all the way back to 84th Avenue, and they still need to get a couple of tow trucks in there to get that wreck out of the way. Everything else around town much lighter than usual because of the holiday, of course. See some heavy traffic coming out of the mountains and out north and up from Colorado Springs a little bit later on in the afternoon. Those jams haven't materialized yet. 12th and Clarkson on Capitol Hill, watch for a minor collision. Xantex 3 has the information. It's the most powerful diet pill in America. More weight loss, faster weight loss, energy to burn. Available at stores nationwide or log on to Xantex3.com. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
An off-duty Denver police officer was involved in a shooting last night. He heard shots in the 800 block of South Wolf Street. According to DPD, the officer saw two suspects shooting at each other. He fired at one of the suspects, hitting him in the leg, and the other suspect still at large. This report brought to you by Einstein Brothers. Aurora police are investigating a gunfight that happened last night at a city park. Spokeswoman Kathleen Walsh says at least one person died after shots were fired at Lowry Community Park.
At least two men left in an SUV type of vehicle, but we're re-interviewing individuals involved in the case because we have varying reports of the vehicle description.
Three people were shot, although the injuries to the other two victims do not appear to be life-threatening. Firefighters continue battling a fire on Colorado's western slope. The Magruder fire has now charred more than 3,000 acres near Cedar Edge, southeast of Grand Junction. Some 130 homes are in danger. Evacuations have been ordered. Aurora fire officials investigating what went wrong last night during a fireworks display. A misfire sent a mortar shell into a crowd, injuring 9 people. The 3 children and 6 adults were all treated and released. In sports, the Colorado Rockies on the road. They're in San Francisco starting a 3-game series this afternoon. Aaron Cook will be on the mound for the Rocks, who swept the Detroit Tigers over the weekend. With new lunches like their Jamaican jerk chicken salad with low-fat mango ginger vinaigrette, Einstein Brothers is the next best thing to living in a gourmet restaurant. Lunch today, stop by Einstein Brothers. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 12:04.
Where will we send Justin next?
What's going on here?
Find out by keeping your radio locked in at AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Hi,
I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to see some scattered afternoon storms today with a high of 80, otherwise partly cloudy. Later on tonight, scattered showers and storms continue, partly to mostly cloudy skies, down to 50. Tomorrow starting out mostly cloudy with a chance of showers early in the day, then turning partly cloudy with scattered storms for the afternoon and a high of 75. And Wednesday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of an afternoon storm, warmer, high of 86. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy in 81. KNRC News Time is 12:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
6 minutes after 12 here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. And I don't know, you know, there's part of me that likes working these holidays, you know, those days where all the rest of you are off, because there's nobody here. I mean, you know, basically it's Darren Gabbert and myself hanging out here in the studio. There's, and Darren's saying that he's wearing no pants, although I'm not going to, you know, go any further with that. I just don't know why, but he just felt that was important that everybody needs to know that, just in case. You know, we will be taking phone calls later on that. But Mike is here working at KCUV, but nobody else is here. It's kind of nice. Nobody that, you know, writes the checks or tells us that we're not doing work or anything else is around. But then again, we also, you know, are in here on a day off. It's always odd. It's an odd feeling to come in here and to be doing this on days in which nobody else is at work. I mean, we've got a computer company that shares the building with us, and no one's here. And you go downstairs, and normally the parking garage is packed full of cars, and I could park in seven or eight different spaces if I wanted to today because nobody's there. And it's kind of nice. It's kind of a nice deal. But, you know, I was headed down from the mountains. I spent the weekend up in the mountains this weekend. And so this morning, grabbed the family, put them in the car, and we're coming down the hill, coming up over Berthoud Pass and down I-70. And, you know, as I'm coming down, one of the things, especially doing Berthoud Pass, one of the things that I like to do is I always like to watch the SUV drivers, because I don't like to paint with a broad brush, but to be brutally honest, the majority of you that drive SUVs have no damn idea how to pilot your car. No clue. Don't understand the physics behind it. Don't understand what the vehicle is that you are in actually does and is capable of. And instead, you zip around like you're driving a little tiny BMW or a Ferrari. In fact, I had some guy in an Infiniti SUV, whatever, the, you know, super expensive. And it's not really an SUV. It looks like just a really giant car. Looks like something you're building when you're like six with Legos. It looks like a gigantic car. It's not really built like the big box SUV. But he's going up and down Berthoud Pass like he's driving, say, a two-door Ferrari. I mean, he is screaming around corners. It's leaning. He's staying in the left-hand lane, not getting over. At one time, there was an Audi, a BMW, and I want to say it was a Volvo, all backed up behind him, and he refused to get the heck out of the way. And he's still, no, I'm going up and down. And even though he is hanging on by the slimmest of threads as he is turning around those tight, twisting turns, going up and down Berthoud Pass, but no, I'm in my SUV. I will stay where I am because I'm going to go as fast as I want to. And I looked at this going, come on, people, please. I mean, the number of morons that I saw behind the wheels of SUVs. Now, granted, there were a number of other morons in cars, but I just think that the vast majority, and people are not necessarily just stupid that drive SUVs, but when you get behind the wheel of an SUV, I'm sorry, you really do not understand the capabilities of that vehicle. Have no clue as to what that vehicle is really capable of and what it's designed to do. You drive it like you have, like you're driving a car, and it's simply not. It takes you longer to stop, takes you longer to accelerate, and you're heavier, and you also have a tendency to tip over. So going around corners at high rates of speed is flat out stupid, and in my mind shows that you have no idea what it is you're actually driving. Funny thing is, as I'm rolling down the mountains, I first have that, you know, the Jackass and the Infiniti that, you know, basically is taking up the left-hand lane, and I'm not going that fast. I am not accelerating and speeding up and down Berthoud because both my kids are actually asleep in the background in the back seat, and you know, I'm not screaming up and down the hills, and so I'm kind of going around a couple of cars that are slower, but I'm watching this Infiniti both in front of me and then behind me as I go past it, and watch him just doing stupid things. And then I finally get all the way down the mountain to I-70, where we join up with everybody coming down from Vail and Beaver Creek and the like and Aspen. And then I see some sort of a jerk driving his gigantic red Yukon. Now, if you're not familiar with the Yukon, it's one of the bigger GMC vehicles. Any larger and you actually have to paint it yellow and take kids to school. This is basically a traveling school bus. The Suburban is about the only damn thing that's bigger than this stupid piece of crap. And it is just gigantic. Now, granted, if you are hauling lots of things, you have, you know, exactly. Darren's just telling me it causes, like, tidal forces as far as running around the planet. It's just ridiculous. It's a huge car that, I'm sorry, I just have to argue that the majority of you that are driving Yukons do not use it for anything that is intended to. You're not towing things. You're not hauling, you know, army cavalry. You're not doing a lot of things. You're not carrying the whole soccer team to and from practice. You're simply not doing that. You've got this big hunk of metal because it, well, I have an opinion about that, but we may not get into that one right now. I'm not going to throw that in there so yet, but okay. So this guy's got on his big red giant Yukon flying down I-70, and this is at the gradient when we're going downhill, where it's actually going to be more difficult for his dumb ass to stop if he has to hit the brakes. And he has got on one of those headless telephone things where he looks like, you know, he's piloting the space shuttle. So I'm watching this guy, Junior Birdman, sitting here next to me, flying down the hill, talking on his cell phone, and because he is distracted while he's doing it in this big behemoth, he is actually missing the curves. He is swinging wide or shallow on every single turn that he is going down, and he's doing 85 down the hill. Like, are you really this stupid? I mean, really, did mom drop you on your head when you were younger? Is this really how you think you need to pilot your vehicle? But he wasn't the best. He was not the best individual that I saw coming down the mountain. The one that took the cake. The one that was the pièce de résistance, as I am driving down from the mountains today, was the horse's rear end that was piloting his BMW X5 that was all black. Black tinted windows. Had the bike and the ski rack on top of the car. He had one of those dual modules so that he does not have to waste his time by changing racks during the summer and the winter. He has the snowboard that is available on the left side of the rack and the bike rack on the right side because, you know, Lord knows he is way too busy to actually change the bike or ski rack, you know, over the course of the summer to the fall because he is so busy. In fact, he was so busy that he's coming down I-70, and this is right around, oh, I want to say Idaho Springs and just after Idaho Springs, and there are a lot of twists and turns, and the road is actually graded at that time. If you're coming down from the mountains, they've actually torn up the pavement, so it's got that, you know, the grading, so, you know, it's like you're driving across a washboard the entire time. And so what is Moron doing? Yes, he is driving his BMW SUV at 75 to 80 miles per hour and sliding in and out of traffic. I'm watching him go from the right lane to the left lane to the right lane to the left lane. There are times in which he goes to three lanes, and I see him cross all three lanes and nearly clip a motorcycle at one point. He slides from the left-hand lane all the way over to the right, speeds around people, then slides back over all the way to the left-hand lane, and he's doing this at 75, 80 miles per hour. Not realizing that physics also at this point is not his friend. And I'm looking at him, and the number of times that he nearly clips a vehicle, or is literally while you're going down the mountain, I catch him, I think it was 3.5 feet more or less, off the bumper of a Volkswagen Bug. And I'm looking at this going, are you really this stupid? I mean, really? Did your parents have any children that lived? Did they? Any of them that have an IQ above room temperature? Because you are driving like a horse's ass. And what is it? I'm sorry, but when you get behind the wheel of your SUV, What is it that makes you absolutely think that you are piloting a little tiny Geo Metro that has some sort of a Formula One engine in it? Do you not understand that this vehicle is larger than everything else on the road, and with it come some very big problems for you when you are driving? Let's cover them just for a minute. We'll go over this. I know we've done this in the past, but just to make certain, in case any of you are hearing this for the first time, we are going to run over this again, just for your edification. SUVs and trucks are now more than 50% of the purchases of new vehicles here in this country. Why? I'm really not that sure. I have no idea what it is that you need to do with your SUV or your pickup truck or anything that requires that size, weight, towing capacity, or anything for those type of cars. Now, there is a gentleman that lives behind me, a gentleman by the name of David, really nice guy. He and his wife, Julie, are going to be moving soon, unfortunately. I'm really scared about getting new neighbors. But he has a pickup truck. The fun thing is, I see him put crap in the back of that pickup truck. Gentleman across the street from me, David, his wife is Jean, and he actually works in construction. His pickup trucks look used. He has got crap in those trucks all the time. He's always got ladders, he's hauling stuff back and forth, and he uses these things. But I'm a little tired of walking through the parking lots and seeing SUVs that look like they've never gotten even close to a dirt road, or seeing a pickup truck that looks like you've never, ever, ever put anything in that rear bed. And this is why. You're purchasing these vehicles and you don't understand what the consequences are. No, I'm not going to go on some sort of an environmentalist rant at this point, but what I'm going to tell you is that you're buying these SUVs and these pickup trucks, primarily the SUVs, because you think they are safer. You're wrong. You are flat out wrong. You couldn't be more wrong if you were standing on the corner preaching the earth was flat. They're not safer. Now remember, they're now more than 50% of the purchases in this country. Statistics say, though, that you're more likely to be injured or hurt in an SUV if you are driving it or riding in it. Yes, statistically, you are more often hurt when you are in an accident inside of an SUV than inside of a car. Despite the fact they are more than 50% of the purchases on the road today. So you're actually buying a vehicle that is going to make your family less safe. Yes, you think it's going to make you more safe, but there are lots of things that happen inside of an auto accident that make you less safe inside of that SUV. Here's the other fun part about it. When hitting somebody, you're much more likely to hurt or kill them. Yes. So if you make a mistake on the road, somebody else is probably going to pay for it. If you're not watching where you're going, if you're changing CDs, putting on your makeup, making sure that you have your pants zipped, making sure you can get that last little bit of barbecue sauce out of the bottom container of the chicken nuggets, or just not paying attention and talking on your cell phone and you make a mistake, the other car's paying for it. The other person is more likely to be injured, hurt, or killed if you're driving an SUV. Why? SUVs have different safety standards, both for you internally and externally. They are not operating on the same plateau as cars. Cars are simply safer vehicles. They're better in accidents. They're better at controlling when you get into emergency situations. And when they hit somebody else, they keep the people inside of the car safer, and they keep the other people in the other vehicle safer. So can we please stop this illusion that SUVs are a safer vehicle? They are not. They do not keep the occupants of the vehicle safer. They do not keep the people they are hitting safer. And the other fun part about it is when you're doing emergency driving maneuvers, let's say there's some moron who for some reason pulls out of an intersection or pulls out of a driveway and you're traveling in that lane and you all of a sudden, in order to save your family and in order not to hit him, you have to make a drastic course correction. You're all of a sudden veering to the left or veering to the right and trying to maintain control of your vehicle. Well, because of the high center of gravity, SUVs like to slide and roll over. And then if you do have the good fortune to tip or roll over an SUV, you are three times as likely to die because they don't reinforce the roofs. Don't have to. So you roll a, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000-pound vehicle up over on its roof, and it all of a sudden gets about 6 to 7 inches shorter. And if you're not that short, guess what's going to get crushed? That's right, your skull. Yes, that's going to be a nice effect and going to be fun to show friends and family at the next family gathering. Yes. So, I'm sorry. I just got a little bit of a rant here that, do you understand that the vehicle you are operating does not make you safer, does not make the people around you safer, does not make you a better driver, and, more times than not, makes you drive like a moron because you feel that you can see the road better, you feel like you are safer because you're in this big giant box, and you don't take into account how this big giant box handles. So I guess where I'm going is I would actually like to see an SUV driver's license. I would like to see that people have to take a special course so that they understand what an SUV is capable of, what they can and cannot do inside an SUV. But that's probably just wishful thinking on my part. But I would like to thank the driver of the big red Yukon, the moron inside of the BMW X5 that was all black, and the Infiniti SUV that pretty much got me rolling on this. And then I sat around and I watched the rest of you guys piloting your Chevy Blazers and Jeep Cherokees and everything else up and down the mountains while I was doing it, and came to the conclusion that you have no clue what you're doing. The next group on my list will be the dads who are mad that they have to drive a minivan, and then they have to prove that, yes, they still at one point did pilot a Corvette by showing that they can peel out and take corners very, very fast in their minivan. And I'm sorry, that more than making you look like a moron when you're driving an SUV, it just makes you look like a sad little man. So we just, if you're going up and down the highways, just remember that. If you're in that big giant SUV and you're rolling down I-70 right now, understand that it's probably going to take you an extra 30, 50, 75, maybe 100 feet to stop than it will the guy in front of you. So if you are inside of 5 feet in his bumper and he decides to tap on his brakes for any way, shape, or form, it's a lot of fun inside of your car. So just remember that before you decide that, you own the road. Just a little bit of maybe a PSA that I have to get off my chest this morning. If you want to talk about SUV drivers, if you're out there, 303-382-1150. If you think that I'm an absolute moron that I'm talking about this, 303-382-1150. We will entertain those phone calls. If not, I have got a whole litany of things that we need to discuss today on this anniversary. Well, not really anniversary of freedom because we're on July 5th rather than the 4th. But there's a lot of freedom topics that I would like to hit with you today. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Myself and T.R. Reid will be filling in throughout the week and maybe a couple other people. Enid will be back a week from today. She actually trekked over to Italy for a family wedding. That's kind of an event. I mean, if you've got the invitation that said, wedding, go to Italy. Unless the ticket actually was included inside of the event, I don't think I'd be going. That's an awful imposition on me to say that if you want to go to the wedding, you need to afford to get there. I don't know about that. That kind of rubs me wrong. But we'll see. Enid was able to pull it off and was able to go to Italy, and so I'm sure she'll have a lot of stories over there and see what's happening. But I would love to talk to you about your 4th of July weekend. We've got a couple other things we're going to talk about, and we'll do that all after this. The phone number is 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Your summer passport for news and information. Identification, please.
Where talk happens. AM 1150 KNRC.
Enjoy your summer.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55 as I discuss financial issues of the week with Willis Ashby of Integra Financial, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Hi, this is Doug Kellett, and allow me to introduce you to the number one public golf course in Colorado as rated by golfers and peers alike. Joining me now to talk about the Ridge at Castle Pines North is manager Daryl Fuston.
Thanks, Doug. You are right. The Ridge at Castle Pines North is consistently rated as the number one public course in Colorado. We have become the venue of choice for corporate and charity events. We are committed to providing the best golfing experience in Colorado.
It is the perfect place for corporate outings and for businessmen and women to choose to entertain their clients. When you want to take that prospective client or client to the perfect course, this is it.
And with our great restaurant, spectacular front range views, along with Troon Golf's Country Club for a Day philosophy, we are the perfect place to bring your clients and to set up corporate golf events.
And you know, we haven't even talked about the course. Once you play the beautiful 18 holes at the Ridge at Castle Pines North, you are sure to come back. Set up a tee time or call for info about your corporate or charity event. 303-688-4301. That's 303-688-4301. The Ridge at Castle Pines, your country club for a day.
Mention you heard this ad on KNRC and receive an additional 20% off.
Hi, I'm Hazel Miller, Colorado's Queen of the Blues, inviting you to groove through summer Wednesday nights at Lakewood Sound's exciting summer concert series. KNRC is a proud sponsor of the 2004 Sounds Exciting series that features some of Colorado's best artists live under the beautiful summer night sky. The lineup includes Chris Daniels and the Kings, presented by KCUV, Dotsero, Lanny Garrett, and many more. Go to www.lakewood.org or call 303-987-7845 for more information.
CNBC Business Radio. I'm Ted David with a sneak peek ahead at the week on Wall Street. Very busy week for economic data. We start on Monday with personal income and spending, followed on Tuesday by a look at consumer confidence. Of more concern Tuesday will be the start of a two-day Fed meeting at which Alan Greenspan and the rest of the FOMC will decide the fate of rates. Many expect a quarter-point hike. On Wednesday, look for the Chicago Purchasing Managers Report. July begins on Thursday with fresh data on auto sales, initial jobless claims, the ISM Index, and construction spending. Friday, we wrap up the week with the June jobs number. Estimates are for the unemployment rate to hold steady at 5.6% and for non-farm payroll jobs to increase by 240,000. Hourly earnings expected to increase 0.3%. On the earnings front, next week, look for reports from Research in Motion, Biomet, Emmis Communications, and General Mills. It's a busy week, lots of data, and you can count on us to have it for you, all accurate and right here. Ted David, CNBC Business Radio.
If you've been waiting for a sign, it's the banner in your Lincoln Mercury dealer's window, inviting you in right now for the best deals of the year during the one and only clearance sales event at your Lincoln Mercury dealer. Come in now for low financing or big cash back on top of your dealer's best model year-end price on every Lincoln and Mercury car, SUV, and minivan during the one and only clearance at your Lincoln Mercury dealer.
How to load the family vehicle for a 4th of July vacation. Step 1. Measure the allotted cubic feet of storage space. Step 2. Measure the cubic feet of family possessions to be loaded into said storage space. Step 3. At all costs, avoid saying the 7 unmentionable words. Your 3-year-old will just end up repeating them for the entire drive. This holiday road tip is brought to you by GEICO. Stay alert, drive safe, save money.
For political junkies like us, Decision 2004 is the Super Bowl. AM 1150 KNRC is going to be your best source of coverage of John Kerry versus George Bush. No one else can do a better job. AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Twelve 26 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Darren Gabbertz and Bill Thorpe hanging out here with you. Darren's running the board and screening phone calls, and he gave up his July 5th just suspended here with me, and now he's probably shooting himself. He's like, I got to work with this moron. It's really nice, though, because there's nobody around here. He's just miming like he's going to smack himself in the head. maybe even shoot himself in the head. But it's fun to be here with nobody else around, and it's kind of nice because, you know, the bosses and nobody else is looking over your shoulder and saying, hey, what are you doing today, and how are you doing, and so it's kind of nice. But, you know, I wonder what you're out there doing. And I ran down from the mountains this morning, and you know, I do have a little bit of a pet peeve about how people drive their SUVs, and it was just confirmed this morning at some jerk in a BMW X5 that was sliding in and out of traffic like he was driving some sort of a Geo Metro with a Formula One engine in it. And I just look at people thinking, do you really understand what your vehicle is capable of? Do you really understand what is going on inside of that big, gigantic piece of metal and the way that you're driving it? And do you understand how stupid you're being? But we'll see. And believe me, this is from someone who, when he was younger, did absolutely some stupid stuff in cars. So I know of what I speak, and we can smell our own. So I know when people are being stupid behind the wheel, because I've seen it, been there, done that. Just not in an SUV. I did in other heavy vehicles. So, and those are stories for other times, because I'm not really sure the statute of limitations has run out. But I'm curious what you think. Just have some of your ideas about SUVs, large vehicles, and driving. There's some other things we'll get to on the plate here in a little bit. I'm filling in for Enid Goldstein today. We'll see who else will pop in and fill in later on this week. Hopefully T.R. Reid will stop by, and we might have a few other people. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. Let's jump to Catherine in Littleton and chat about cars and SUVs and the like. Catherine, thanks for calling. How you doing today?
Well, you would love my note that I had here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, one of them was a martyr.
Uh-huh.
Because she didn't use condoms. The other one was methinks they protest too much about the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was Chuck Musgrave's pre-election speaking.
Yeah. Well, Catherine, look at this. We're talking a little bit right now.
Yeah.
SUVs and cars.
One more.
Okay.
Who are we walling out and walling in reference to the walls that are going up in India and...
Well, okay, let's talk about, and all those are great topics, but I can't do all of that right now.
I know, darling.
We're doing cars and trucks and SUVs right now. What is it you want to say about that?
This is, I used to be a talk show junkie because I could get all sorts of information. And so I turned you on, and there you are talking about automobiles. May I draw to your attention, which you probably are fully aware of.
Sure, what?
BMW SUVs are, and Volvos are less likely to kill people than the other cars.
Yeah, and Mercedes is doing a pretty good job, too, there, as far as holding people inside of crashes. Mercedes-Benz also does a pretty good job with their with their SUVs as far as not killing each other, killing people. They're less likely, but the issue that I had was the larger issue of just their big cars, and they're flying around the road, and that people, when they are driving them, aren't necessarily taking the precautions that they need to behind that size of a vehicle. Catherine, I appreciate the phone call. I'm going to jump to Larry in Wheat Ridge and see what is on Larry's mind about cars. Larry, how are you doing today?
Is this Bill?
Yeah, how are you doing today?
Bill, fine, and a great subject, and long overdue to be discussed on the radio. I'm sorry you're taking Enid's time up, but she decided to go to Italy on
her own.
Yes,
she did, so now it's our time.
Anyway, this is an excellent subject, and the reason I'm saying so to you is because you caught me at a very listenable time of the day, and I drive that route from Vail to Denver all the time, both directions, and I've noticed exactly the same kind of things that you're talking about. I wonder where these people are getting their information from. We seem to be in this country a land of fads. Whatever is in, we go for it, even if it's stupid things. And apparently in California, I thought they had the cake on all these SUVs, all these fads, but apparently not. We have more per capita in this state than California does. My sister backs me up on that, who lives out there. However, this is really, really a sore subject, and I believe the heart of the matter would be the car dealerships, the people that sell these vehicles to us, and I'm talking in general terms, of course.
Yeah.
I don't own one. I will never own an SUV. It's a tremendous waste of gas. You're transporting around a big box full of empty air.
You really are.
And, I mean, I'm not going to – I don't want crank phone calls coming back to me, but I am really against this. I think it's stupid. Given this economy and given the world and the situation it's in, why would people want to buy a vehicle that wastes so many things, or space on the freeways, gas? You can do all kinds of things in them and be unaware of what you're doing, but man, oh man, you are taking everybody's life and risk, and I don't like it either. It bothers me. It makes me think that we're stupid as a country. But look to these salesmen. They're telling these people when they come to the dealership, oh, this is a safer vehicle. Yeah, you'll be better off on ice and snow with it, even though people don't even know half the time how to put it into four-wheel drive.
Yeah, have no idea how to. And the funny thing is, of course, with car dealerships, the profitability for the manufacturer is much higher on
absolutely.
An SUV than
that's
it is on a car.
Of course.
Yeah.
And a bigger commission for the salesman.
Yep.
I mean, if people would think about who you're doing the favor for, and then, of course, when they see their buddies out there all driving the same vehicles, they go, oh, I must have done the right thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's
how
fickle we are in this country.
Yeah, I've got a guy across the street from me that drives a Durango. Now, I've got a couple of people up and down the block that have, you know, either SUVs or have utility vehicles like pickup trucks, and they use them. But then I've got this one guy across the street who has a Dodge Durango, and the thing has never, ever, ever been off-road. He has himself, his wife, and his son, and they have a dog. But all of those people can fit inside of a minivan or a station wagon, easily inside of a station wagon. They had a Passat station wagon for a while, and the dog would fit in the back of the Passat station wagon. The kid, who's about 12 years old, I believe, plays hockey, and they still could put all the hockey stuff in the back of the car and still get to and from practice. But now, all of a sudden, he came home about a year and a half ago and has this giant SUV.
Yeah.
And he washes it every weekend. He keeps it in immaculate, pristine condition, takes care of it. But I look at this and think, what is he using it for? And the
right.
weird thing thing. When I was making my most recent vehicle purchase, I actually went with a smaller sports car. And, but the reason of that was, and my wife was saying, well, what about the, you know, the, what about the roads, and should we get something that's better? We had a pretty good car in the winter, a Saab that I really like. I think it drives wonderfully in the winter. But she was looking at it and saying, well, what about the winter? Will you be able to do anything with this? And I sat down, and we went through a couple of years as far as snowfall totals and when they were falling. And we went through it and said, okay, listen, you know, we have, you know, basically 52 weeks out of the year, and we added up all the number of times that basically we had to use an SUV to get to and from inclement weather, and it was less than 14.
Right.
It was less than 2 weeks of time.
We have 300 days of sunshine here in Denver anyway, or in Colorado. Look, here's the deal. The reason I ask people that drive SUVs that are friends of mine, and I have a few of them, I hate to say it, to admit it to you, but I have, and probably everybody has. It's like knowing somebody that has AIDS maybe somewhere.
Yep.
Here's the deal. When you ask them about it, they go, well, it's because I can. It's because I can afford it. It's because I want to put out that kind of an image of a spending kind of wealthy guy. It's because we can. And the salesmen are just loving the stuff. The manufacturers, the sales, you know, interest rates have stayed low. So they keep selling these expensive vehicles, and they keep putting people on the road with them that don't have any intention of driving them the way they were intended.
Yeah, and don't know how to drive them, can control them, and it was real funny when they did some research and did some looking into how they were selling and marketing SUVs, they found out that they were basically appealing more times than not to the base reptilian brain model, the idea that because I'm bigger, I'm more of a threat than you, and I'm better than you, and I can push you off the road, and that's how they sold the SUV, the idea of get out of my way, I'm bigger, I'm badder, I'm meaner. Again, you know, I talked on Friday a little bit about courteous driving, and a little tongue-in-cheek saying, yes, when I'm going faster, get out of my way. But I'm not doing it to be a jerk or to be a moron around it. What I was doing, though, is using it to illustrate the idea that we need to understand what we're doing on the road, and the SUV drivers simply, more times than not, don't understand what they're doing. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks a lot, Larry. I'm going to get to the rest of your phone calls. We've got a couple more on the board. Kelly and Steve will get to you and everybody else. 303-382-1150. Kelly and Steve, hang there. You're going to be first two when we come back. 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AIM 1150 KNRC. And now it is time to talk to the man who, well, couldn't find any really good excuse to get out of work today, so he's stuck there like the rest of us, and that's Tim McLaughlin.
Yeah, I tried to figure out a way out.
I know. It's like jury duty. It's like, man, I'm going to believe this, you're going to believe that. No, maybe not. Maybe I'm going to have to do this stupid thing. What's going on?
I love being here. Come on, man.
That's only because the microphone is on. I've heard what you say when you turn it off. Okay, what's going on in the news?
Partly cloudy and 81 right now. An investigation into an Adams County apartment fire is underway. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic. Here's Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The accident southbound I-25 and the mousetrap has been pulled off the freeway now, and traffic is already back to normal through that stretch. The Denver police made very, very quick work of that. Everything else around town is still much, much lighter than usual because of the holiday. Traffic beginning to build as you come out of the mountains this afternoon. 2,900 cars made the trip eastbound through the Eisenhower Tunnel as of 12 o'clock, and that was down 60 from the 11 o'clock car count, we are told. 12th and Clarkson may have a little bit of a residual slowing in there because of an accident. Campfire is out of control. Half a mile south of the parking lot for Caribou Trail in Boulder County. Watch for fire equipment getting in there. Xantex 3 has the information. Most powerful diet pill in America is Xantex 3. More weight loss, faster weight loss, energy to burn. Available at stores nationwide or log on to Xantex3.com. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Investigators had to wait more than 24 hours to start their investigation into a fire at the Corona Village Apartments in Adams County. While the building smoldered, investigators talked with residents. Some said the fire might have been caused by fireworks or by an explosion of a propane tank on one of the balconies. This report brought to you by Einstein Brothers. Nine people were injured last night during a fireworks display in Aurora. A misfire sent a mortar shell into a crowd, injuring three children and six adults. All were treated and released. Investigators still trying to figure out exactly what caused that mishap. Denver police are on the lookout for a suspect from an officer-involved shooting last night. An off-duty DPD officer heard shots in the 800 block of South Wolf Street, saw two suspects shooting at each other. The officer fired, hitting one of the suspects in the leg. The other suspect took off and is still at large. Einstein Brothers' new Einstein Club sandwich on grilled rustic white bread is the next best thing to living in a gourmet restaurant. Lunch today, stop by Einstein Brothers. We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 12:38.
America's Department of Homeland Security wants to keep you informed during this war on terrorism.
Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
And AM 1150 KNRC is your best source in Denver when the government issues an alert. AM 1150 KNRC.
An OnStar Conversation, February 6th, 2004.
OnStar Center, this is Ola. How may I help you?
Yes, my vehicle's been stolen.
And what type of vehicle is it?
An 01 Tahoe.
Have you filed a stolen vehicle report with the police?
I just got off with the sheriff's department, yes.
I have already begun the process of trying to locate your vehicle.
Okay, great.
We'll do everything we can for you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Make sure you're never without the valuable assistance of OnStar.
This is Ola with OnStar. I have some good news.
Really?
Your vehicle's been recovered.
Praise the Lord! Okay, so now what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to call the sheriff?
Yes, you can just contact the sheriff's department and they'll tell you how you can get your vehicle back.
Good deal. Okay, thank you.
Okay, is there anything else we can assist you with?
No, I just love you guys. Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit OnStar.com. OnStar. Always there, always ready.
Taking a look at the KNRC weather forecast, partly cloudy skies for us this afternoon, maybe some scattered thunderstorms, about the same for this evening. It'll become mostly cloudy after midnight, maybe some showers too, around 50 for the overnight temperature. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers tomorrow morning, then partly cloudy, maybe some afternoon thunderstorms, mid to upper 70s for tomorrow's high. Partly cloudy and 81 now. KNRC News Time is 1240. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett, and allow me to introduce you to the number one public golf course in Colorado as rated by golfers and peers alike. Joining me now to talk about the Ridge at Castle Pines North is manager Daryl Fuston.
Thanks, Doug. You are right. The Ridge at Castle Pines North is consistently rated as the number one public course in Colorado. We have become the venue of choice for corporate and charity events. We are committed to providing the best golfing experience in Colorado.
It is the perfect place for corporate outings and for businessmen and women to choose to entertain their clients. When you want to take that prospective client or client to the perfect course, this is it.
And with our great restaurant, spectacular front range views, along with Troon Golf's Country Club for a Day philosophy, we are the perfect place to bring your clients and to set up corporate golf events.
And you know, we haven't even talked about the course. Once you play the beautiful 18 holes at the Ridge at Castle Pines North, you are sure to come back. Set up a tee time or call for info about your corporate or charity event. 303-688-4301. That's 303-688-4301. The Ridge at Castle Pines, your country club for a day.
Mention you heard this ad on KNRC and receive an additional 20% off.
You've been scanning the dials looking for a talk radio station that actually has more talk content than clutter. You found your locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC. Those out-of-town owners took away your talk radio. We are here to give it back. AM 1150 KNRC. More talk, less clutter.
.42 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Our phone number is 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. I'm chatting you with a little bit of experience this morning. Coming down the mountains, went over Berthoud Pass, down I-70, like a lot of you probably are today. And I ran into those SUV drivers again, the guys that don't understand how big their vehicle is and what they can and cannot do on a roadway traveling 70 miles an hour around sharp, sweeping turns. I don't know. It's just, I look at this and think, am I just being a doofus, or is there more to this about SUV drivers and how they simply don't really understand what's going on? But let's talk to you about it. 303-382-1150. I'm going to jump to Kelly on a cell phone. He hung through that last break, so I want to make sure I don't burn up as much of his cell phone minutes as I can. Kelly, thanks for hanging. How are you doing today?
Hey, great. I hope you had a good Independence Day, sir.
I really did. I hope you did, too.
Hey, I agree with you. You know, I mean, I live out here in the wilds of Aurora.
Yeah.
And It is just as bad and just as dangerous going up Chambers Road to 5 miles to work.
Yep.
Because of the SOBs and SUVs. I have a four wheel drive vehicle. It's a minivan. It's an older Ford Aerostar.
Yeah.
They don't make them anymore.
No, they
don't. Nobody does. They don't make a vehicle that's four wheel drive, efficient, big, all the above, and you know, you're kind of stuck. But, I mean, I passed the soccer mom all by herself that has to be going 60
yep.
in weaving in and out of the traffic on Chambers. And you know, the other big, it's all much safer. Well, you better be because you're driving like an idiot.
Yeah, and you're probably going to kill all of us. And the fun part about it is that, you know, it's those giant, giant vehicles. And I actually had a conversation with a news person in this town. And this news person will remain nameless simply because of the story that I'm about to tell you. This news person I'm talking with, we're talking about it, and she's very happy about her SUV that she purchased. And so I start questioning her a little bit. Well, what is it you thought you needed it for? And she tells me, well, it's safer. And then I started to explain to her the statistics, you know, one being basic injury per crash rate is much higher in an SUV than it is in cars. Also, the idea that if you hit somebody inside of an SUV, you're more likely to injure or kill them. The fact that you roll over, you're more likely to be hurt or injured. And so all the statistics show that SUVs really aren't safer, even though she feels that way. And that she's, but wait, when I'm in the snow, it gives me better traction. I can stop better. And I looked at her and said, no, it's four-wheel drive, not four-wheel stop. In fact, if you are going faster on a slick surface like ice or water or snow, because of the size of your vehicle, it's going to take you longer to stop. And she looked at me and she goes, nuh-uh. I went, yes. And so it took me about a week until I finally convinced her that no, because she had four-wheel drive on her SUV, it wasn't going to make her safer to stop because of the morons on the snowy roads. That actually she was more likely to plow into them because it's going to take her longer to stop.
Hey, you're right. I mean, the four-wheel drive, if used correctly, you gear down, do those things,
yeah,
it will give you a little bit of gain on that stopping.
But yeah.
Most people, well, I know there's two existing pedals, and that's all they use. They never reach for the lever.
Exactly. Nobody wants to gear down. And that's the thing is, if you downshift, then sure, you're using the natural momentum of the car and the engine, and that works great. But if you're not, then no, you're not going to.
Yeah, it is. I mean, my 20 years in the military, I was in Iceland, this place was, that they didn't care if it was 6 inches of snow or 6 feet of snow.
Yeah.
When the Claxton went off, you ran to your jet or drove there in a truck, and you learned to do that. And I don't drive any faster in my four-wheel drive vehicle. I know that it'll go way, way faster in the snow and bad weather than I would if it was a conventional two-wheel drive,
yeah,
car, because I know that my stopping isn't any better, and my, my other roadworthy opponents aren't usually as considered as,
yep,
I try to be.
Oh, they aren't at all.
And that's it. But part of the problem is that, you know, that marketing thing, the SUV is the craze. You know, there was a time that the minivan was the king, but,
yep,
they've kind of fallen all by the wayside. I was looking the other day for a replacement for mine, and they say that no one makes it. It's not a marketing thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, they really screwed up. I got a vehicle that gets over 22 miles a gallon on the road, hauls seven people, got dual air, television, all the above, and it's all-wheel drive so I can go. But nobody makes it anymore because,
yeah,
it wasn't stylish. Not that it wasn't efficient. It was just not stylish.
Yeah, and so now we put you in a big, giant SUV with all the same amenities, charge you about $20,000 to $35,000 more, and give you a larger gas bill and a less safe vehicle. And that's what I just don't simply understand. Kelly, I appreciate the phone call. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. Let's jump to Steve on a cell phone so don't make him wait too long. Steve, thanks for hanging. How are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
Interesting topic because I'm kind of torn.
Yeah.
I have an SUV. It's a smaller one. It's a Honda CR-V.
Okay.
And I bought it specifically because it saves gas mileage.
Yeah. And Honda's that quasi SUV. Those are those. They're not really that called hybrid, but they're mid rangers. It's almost.
Well, it's small.
Yeah. Jeep Liberty is almost on the same line. The Freelander with
Jeep
Range Rover.
Liberty.
Yeah.
But I kind of need it for my business. I really do. I'm a building consultant, and,
yeah,
I go out to people's raw land and help stake out their houses and talk about cost, and most of it's in the mountains and inclement weather and tough roads. I've got to do it. And actually, since I'm also trying to impress a client that's about to invest their life savings with me, I'd like to do it in a little bit more luxury. CR-V is not exactly luxurious here, so
yeah, exactly.
I'm almost tempted that I need to upgrade to get something a little nicer, but the only thing that's available out there is those gas pigs. So.
And that's the thing that I look at. See, the weird thing for me is the CR-Vs, I'm torn on those too because they're small enough to where they do behave a little bit more like a car. It's just that, you know, when you're driving around it, you hopefully realize that you still have that higher center of gravity, so you're more likely to tip and slide around a lot. So that
right,
is one of the problems with it, especially built on the shorter frame. And, you know, because they're doing it on a car or a light truck frame more times than not, so it's a shorter frame, so it does squeeze that center of gravity a little higher. But the strange thing is that those those type of cars, for me, don't seem to be, you know, that unreasonable. But let's say that we put you, Steve, inside of the gigantic GMC Yukon or the Denali or a Suburban. And that's what I see on the roads is I see people like yourself, you know, who have to go out and have a, you seem to have a legitimate reason to go out onto the land and to do some other
right.
stuff. As far as building consultant, well, you will need a car or a truck that will do this. But the weird thing that I find is that we turn around and more times than not as consumers, we'll turn around and instead of making the purchase like you have, something that is fuel efficient, that gets the job done, that is also a utility for your business, we turn around and buy the Yukon or the Denali, something where you could never possibly ever use that much room. You could never, you know, use it for all the things it's supposed to. You're never going to be towing around, you know, items.
Here again, you know, everybody has different needs. It's hard to put everybody in a box.
Oh, sure.
I don't have the luxury of having four different cars for four different needs. You'd have to buy one car that would cover all the needs.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. If you look at the with the four cars coming all the needs, is what percentage of the needs you have for the SUV? And the argument I've got more times than not is that the people that are making the claims that they have to have this SUV are wrong. That there's a portion of them. And I would say I don't think it's greater than 20%. And that, again, is just me pulling a number out of my rear end just based on what I've seen around. So there's nothing scientific about it. I'm just making this assertion that, you know,
you're
you can
radio
say...
You're a radio host. You can't...
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, sure. It happens all the time. You're just not supposed to notice, Steve. That's the thing. They're just not supposed to tell you. So I'm just guessing it's somewhere around there, but people don't use them. I mean, the guy across the street, the people that I see going up and down the mountain, I look today, the SUVs coming up and down the mountain, 90% of them were not carrying anything, they were not towing anything, and 85% of them only had one person in them. And so I look at this and go, what were we doing? And they weren't dirty. I mean, I've got people that were next door to us in the mountains that have these giant Jeeps, huge tires, and they were filthy today because they went Jeeping yesterday. Great, they used it, but none of these SUVs were dirty coming down from the mountain.
My solution is a little bit radical.
Yeah.
And that's to put the price of gas to what it should be, because the price of gas is really subsidized by the government. We do it in a number of ways. We subsidize it tax benefits for oil producers. We do it through military enforcement of our oil imports. We do it through paying through health issues that fossil burners cause on our society. And so I think we need to put all those burdens, instead of spreading it out amongst our tax burden, we got to put it right at the pump. So when gasoline is $5.50 a gallon, but your income tax is lowered because those burdens aren't in that.
Yeah, see, I like that, too. I think that's a good idea, Steve, is to put gas more at a realistic price, or at least, you know, put a little bit more of a tax burden on it, because everybody, again, we complain about, you know, the free market system, and everybody says, well, the free market system is telling us right now that we as Americans don't want fuel-efficient vehicles.
Well,
if we were paying...
gas costs what it really costs, instead of the hidden cost that we all absorb as taxpayers and our income tax and whatnot, then there would be the incentive for free enterprise to come up with alternatives. But right now, we're so oil-heavy with good old boy George in office there that there's no way out of it. They're going to get the tax incentives. We're going to invade countries for the oil, and it goes on and on. So it's always going to be cheap gas, and there's going to be big behemoth cars.
Yeah, there will be, and I don't think there's any way that we're going to get around that, unfortunately, in the near future. And it's strange when you go over into Europe and really in the Pacific Asian Rim and you look at the cars that they produce over there, and gas is phenomenally expensive, and it's strange that everything over there, they run diesels. They run a lot of hybrids. They run very, very fuel-efficient cars, and the biggest thing in Japan right now are the micro cars, micro vans. Yeah, I know that sounds like a term that you used to hear in the dorms when you were, you know, smoking dope and getting drunk back in the 60s, the little micro van, you know. Guy coming up to you and going, yeah, Betty, you know, you want to come out and, you know, we'll hang out in my micro van for a while? Yeah, I've got the new Deep Purple CD. Let's see, you know, well, it'd be Deep Purple cassette at the time, and maybe we can go out there and hang out a little bit. You know, was that what we're looking at as far as micro vans? But it actually, inside of Japan, they're these little tiny, what they are, they're not really that much bigger than a four-person sedan, but they're done as vans, they're done as trucks. They're these tiny, tiny vehicles that actually use storage and are really round-town commuters. But we don't look at that. Part of that is because we're spread out so much, but another part of that is because we're very oil-heavy and our gas costs are just unfathomably low. And it's strange, especially given a country that prides itself upon the free market system, that then when we deal with our own markets, we don't really want to have the free market system. And there are some examples that I might get into here in a little bit. But if you want to talk a little bit more about SUVs, driving habits, what you're seeing coming down from the mountains, all of this germinated because I'm making my way up and over Berthoud Pass and down I-70 this morning. And first of all, I see a guy in Infiniti. Yes, one of these super luxurious SUVs, and he's driving up Berthoud Pass like he is in a two-door Subaru. He's flying around the turns. He's not getting out of the way. There is an Audi, a BMW, and a Volvo behind him that want to go past him. He wouldn't move. They had to make some dangerous course corrections around some turns and some small straightaways in order to get around him, because he wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't about to move his car out of the way because he felt he was going fast enough, even though the car was leaning at about a 35 to 40 degree angle every time he's going around a turn. The fun part is he was actually behind me as I'm coming around one of those turns on Burford. And you know those turns if you've driven Burford, where you've got those hairpin turns that the little sign says you can go about 20 miles per hour. And they aren't kidding. That's about as fast as you can go. 20, maybe 30 is pushing it. And I turn that corner, and I watch him come in way too fast. He has to slam on his brakes, almost come to a stop at the apex of the turn, and then start his momentum back up as we round that turn and keep going up the mountain. And I'm thinking, you moron, didn't you understand what you were coming into? Didn't you brake prior to the apex of the turn and then accelerate out of it? And that actually holds the car down on the ground a little bit farther. But, you know, there's some physics involved there. But he simply didn't know how to drive the vehicle he was in. Then I come down I-70, and I've got this guy in this gigantic red Yukon. He's not hauling anything. There's nothing else in the truck because I can see times he was in front of me. At times he was behind me, and I can look into the truck, and there's nothing in there. He's not hauling wood. He's not hauling kids. It's only him and his little junior spaceman headset, hands-free cell phone device, chatting on the phone, coming down the hill, going about 85 miles per hour, and then weaving because his car is heavier and takes a wider turning radius than everybody else. And so then every time he hits a turn and he's going 85 in traffic, he goes a little wide or a little shallow on the turn, so everybody next to him all of a sudden thinks, he's going to crush me. But no, it's because he's not paying attention to what he's doing. And then the pièce de résistance was the BMW X5 driver, tinted windows and all, flying down in some of the tight positions right around Idaho Springs and even beyond Idaho Springs as you get near Chief Hosa. Coming up and around that area, and not only is it a graded road at times near Idaho Springs today, but he's taking those turns at about 75, 80 miles per hour, and he's sliding from the far left lane to the right lane and sliding back and doing three-lane turn changes and squeezing himself into spaces where he's only got about 2 inches, let's say it'll be more generous, about 12 inches between his front bumper and his rear bumper between the other cars. And I'm thinking, at this speed, if anybody had a problem, he's toast. And he was creating some of the problems. It was funny to see him sliding in and out of traffic and then to watch all the brake lights in behind him all of a sudden slam on. And he was creating traffic problems for the people behind us because he was sliding in and out and making everybody slow down. But he didn't care. He had places to go, people to see, phone calls to make, important business deals to be done. Be damned that I have no idea how to drive my big car. It sure looks cool. And that's what I keep looking at, is come on. I'm just talking about conscious, reasonable, and courteous driving. If you want to drive very, very fast up and down the highways, then go ahead and grab one of those little Audis. Save your money and get a little tiny sports car and enjoy it. It's a lot more fun in that. Don't do it in the giant SUV. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I'm Bill Thorpe, way behind on a break. I'll be back after this on AM 1150 KNRC.
More and more Denver radio listeners are tuning to AM 1150 KNRC and our unique Both Sides Talk approach.
This is the only radio station that I have programmed into my radio at home.
I think it's absolutely wonderful that the station has as a goal that it wants to hear both sides.
Perhaps you'll be our next satisfied customer. Hear Both Sides Talk. Our personalities welcome opposing sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
With new lunches like their Jamaican Jerk Chicken Salad with low-fat mango ginger vinaigrette, Einstein Brothers is the next best thing to living in a gourmet restaurant. Lunch today? Stop by Einstein Brothers.
Ah, a spa.
Mountain biking.
I'd like to shop till I drop, then sit down for a great meal, then maybe go dancing.
Horseback riding. No. Rafting. No. Riding an alpine slide. No.
I'd love to get in a few rounds of amazing golf.
Breckenridge, making perfect quick getaways. Tucked to the mountains close to home. Breckenridge offers over 150 things to do and see this summer. So plan to spend the weekend. Call today for competitive rates and tailored vacation. Go to GoBreckNow.com.
Join the National Multiple Sclerosis Society for the 19th annual Great West MS-150 Bike Tour and get ready to rock the rampart. The two-day 150-mile adventure begins on Saturday, July 10th at Conifer and traverses the rampart range through Buffalo Creek, Deckers, and Woodland Park. Last year, more than 1,900 participants raised $1.7 million to end the devastating effects of MS. To learn more or join this year's MS-150 Bike Tour, visit www.fightmscolorado.org.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
We're inviting you to our seminar, High Style at Low Prices, at Colorado Mills, Tuesday, April 27th at 5:30 in the evening.
It's free and it's fun.
Four lucky guests will win a $100 shopping spree with us. You'll enjoy delicious hors d'oeuvres and wine. Call 303-384-3000 to register today.
You'll receive lots of great discounts at Colorado Mills stores.
Reserve your seat for our free seminar, Thursday, April 27th at 5:30.
Colorado Mills Mall, 6th Avenue at Indiana. Call 303-384-3000.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
I am so late on time. I am going to try and jump and squeeze in the last phone call. Francis in Idaho Springs. Francis, how are you doing today? We've got about 30 seconds. What's on your mind about gas and gas prices and SUVs? Francis? Oh, Francis missed. I'm so sorry. I've got 10 seconds left, and so we're bringing the music back up, and we'll... Francis, I apologize. I'm going to try to get you during the news break if we can, and we can chat about gas prices and the like. There's some things we may talk about, freedom in this country, a few other weird things. I hear there may be another terrorist warning. Let's see what happens. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. Millions of Americans are on the road again, heading home from the 4th of July weekend. Mantell Williams with AAA is expecting a record weekend for people on the move.
People are more confident in their travel, the security of travel. We surveyed people about 91% of people said that they were more secure in traveling over all modes, and even 80% said that they were more secure in traveling through our airports.
Most people are traveling by car today, so expect lots of company out there on the roads. More U.S. airstrikes in the Iraqi city of Fallujah. American troops have been targeting buildings thought to be occupied by followers of terrorist leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. The world's longest concert is two notes closer to being over. In Germany, they're playing a few notes each year. An organ piece by composer John Cage, who wanted it played as slowly as possible. The piece is scheduled to be completed in 636 years. Organizers say it's a Zen thing. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
If you've been waiting for a sign, it's the banner in your Lincoln Mercury dealer's window, inviting you in right now for the best deals of the year during the one and only clearance sales event at your Lincoln Mercury dealer. Come in now for low financing or big cash back on top of your dealer's best model year-end price on every Lincoln and Mercury car, SUV, and minivan during the one and only clearance at your Lincoln Mercury dealer.
What if you could see five signs of improved health in just 4 weeks' time? Signs like silky hair, healthy vitality, a toned body with strong, firm muscles. You'd wag your tail and shake your soft, shiny coat. Well, you would if you were a dog. Feed your dog Iams and begin to see signs of a healthier pet in 4 weeks. Stronger, shinier, healthier. That's a lot better than just a wet nose. Try Iams. Start those 4 weeks today and get those tails wagging. Iams. Good for life.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for Journalistic Excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 83 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Investigators are trying to figure out what sparked a fire in an Adams County apartment complex. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic. Here's Steve Smith from the KNRC Traffic Center.
Getting a report of a stranded motorist southbound I-25 at 48th Avenue. The CDOT map shows us that it really isn't doing anything to traffic whatsoever. Everything around town, of course, much lighter than usual today because of the holiday. Traffic beginning to build coming out of the mountains, though. 2,900 cars made the trip eastbound through the Eisenhower Tunnel at last check. Get another number of for you here in just a few minutes. Wadsworth in Cross Drive. Watch for an injury accident. The collision itself is in a parking lot, but emergency equipment has to use the streets around there to get there. So make way for the folks and be out of their way in just a few minutes. Also 23rd and Broadway, the cause of the smoke scare inside that apartment building was burnt food on the stove. Napa Auto Parts with the information. Make sure your car is ready for safe summer driving with Napa Truck Stop Brake Pads starting as low as $7.99. You'll get the safe, reliable braking at a competitive price from Napa. Get the good stuff. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Investigators had to wait 24 hours to start sifting through the ashes at an Adams County apartment complex that caught fire yesterday. Captain Mark Schumann of the North Washington Fire Department says investigators have learned fireworks were set off in an area of the building before that blaze.
It has been no secret that fireworks were heard in the area prior to the fire, and that is one of the areas they're investigating.
24 units in the complex were damaged or destroyed, up to 8 people taken to the hospital. This report brought to you by Verizon Wireless. Aurora police are investigating a gunfight last night at a city park. One person died after shots were fired at a picnic at Lowry Community Park. At least 2 men left in an SUV, but there are varying descriptions of the vehicle, so police are continuing to interview witnesses. Cooler weather seems to be slowing the advance of the Magruder fire southeast of Grand Junction. That fire has burned more than 3,000 acres. Officials had urged the evacuation of some 130 homes. They've now lifted that recommendation. In sports, the Colorado Rockies are in San Francisco starting a 3-game series with the Giants this afternoon. Aaron Cook will get the start for the Rocks, who beat the Detroit Tigers 10-8 yesterday, sweeping that weekend series with the Tigers. At Verizon Wireless, they never stop working for you. Verizon Wireless, call 1-800-256-4646. 800-256-4646. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 104.
Need a break from all the breaks on the other talk stations?
Listen.
Hear better talk and more of it.
Talk, speak, conversation.
On AM 1150, KNRC.
Colorado is famous for sports, and with over 300 days of sunny year, prescription sunglasses are a necessity. Hi, I'm Bev Rulo, owner of International Optique. Prescription sunglasses for sports and daily activities offer better visual clarity, 100% UV protection, and are much more relaxing for your eyes. Without UV-protected sunwear, your eyes burn, just like your skin. When looking for the best prescription sunglasses in Denver, visit International Optique at Tamarack Square. Join our entire staff, now through the end of July, for our fabulous annual sunglass sale. Receive a 25% discount off prescription sunglasses and ready-to-wear sunglasses. Look sporty, fashionable, or just way cool. At International Optique, you will find a staff trained in sport lenses for all seasons. So don't wait. Come visit International Optique at Tamarack Square. See you soon.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our severe thunderstorm should stay to the north of Denver, but we still have a pretty fast-moving front that's going to bring scattered thunderstorms through our late afternoon and evening, but it'll all taper off later tonight. Topping out around 85 for the high, we'll drop to about 51 for the overnight low. We'll see a mix of sun and clouds, isolated thunderstorms expected Tuesday and a chance on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
83 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 106. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
6 minutes after one here on AM 1150 KNRC. Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid shall return a week from today. She's actually in Italy at a family wedding. So she's going to be there, hanging out, having fun in Italy, and so I'll be here. I think T.R. Reid might make a couple of appearances, and we'll see who else will pop in and join you throughout the week here on AM 1150 KNRC. Last hour, we were talking a little bit about SUVs, driving habits, behavior. We tried to get Frances in before the top of the hour and weren't able to, so I'm going to try to go back to Frances and see if she's ready right now in Idaho Springs talking about gas prices. So you can wrap that up and see if you want to still talk about that, and if not, there are lots of other things we have on the plate today. So let's jump and talk to Frances. Frances, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Thanks. Now, we missed you at the end of last hour. That's okay.
Yeah.
We only had a couple of seconds, but what's on your mind about gas prices?
Okay, that last caller really got my dander up.
Yeah.
With his $5.50 a gallon gasoline prices.
Uh-huh.
Who does that affect the most? The poor people that have to drive these old cars that get 10 miles, or you know what I mean, these old cars that don't get good gas mileage. And that affects the economy, too, because the truckers have to pass the gasoline prices on to, for stuff in the grocery store and all that. So anyway, that's a very religious attitude.
Well, not necessarily, because what the idea then, again, if we look at it, no, Francis, here's the thing. What we look at is we sit there and, again, many times we hear that the free market system inside of this country needs to be allowed to, you know what we should produce and what we shouldn't produce. And everybody gets mad if the government comes out and says, well, we're going to put in a plan to implement what's going on with, cars and what fuel efficiency standards are going to be. If we had higher gas prices, fuel efficiency would be more of a premium, and we probably would end up with more fuel-efficient cars. Now, the poor people out there, yes, absolutely, it does affect them more. But the other thing that it does is it also, it may force them to buy more fuel-efficient cars as well. So what you'd be doing is you'd be skewing the marketplace towards more fuel-efficient vehicles, and then in theory, the free market then would then get you to the goal that we should be having already. I mean, the idea that we are producing cars and trucks that get 11, 12 miles to the gallon is moronic.
Well,
I mean, it's just silly.
They produce better cars. But what I want to say is, I forgot what I was going to say.
I have a tendency to do that to people.
Well, as far as the fuel-efficient cars, my sister has a Toyota Prius. She lives in California. And I would love to have one of those, but first of all, it's too small because I'm handicapped and I have an electric scooter.
Okay.
Secondly, those cars aren't cheap, I mean, not everyone can go out and spend $22,000, $3,000 for a car. And then another thing, changing the subject a little bit, and this is another thing that gets my dander up. This is about Europe, the gasoline prices in Europe. Well, in Europe, they have socialism, and they have to pay for it somehow. Those are taxes that makes that gasoline so high there. They have free education. They have free health care. I have a cousin in Switzerland. She gets 6 weeks vacation a year.
Yeah, and part of it is, and it's not because all of Europe is not necessarily socialist in and of itself, but you're right. There are things like, and I'm not sure if the gas tax is tied in with their healthcare industry or not, but yes, you're right that it is artificially inflated.
Well, yeah,
but then look at what they have, though. But I know they have to somewhere, but I don't know if it's necessarily from the gas. I mean,
well,
they could get it from
a
hundred different other places, but I don't know if that's directly tied in.
Yeah. Well,
but you're right about that. But think about what that is, though. I mean, think about, is that necessarily, though, again, I'm not a socialist, but the two examples you gave were universal health care and universal education. To me, that doesn't necessarily sound like a bad idea to say that everybody inside of America could have, could have covered health care and everybody in America could have education.
But if
we're throwing,
I go to the doctor, it costs me $20 plus I pay for insurance every month. So.
Yeah. Oh, it's a pain, and it's not, and universal health care is also not a be all and end all. I mean, you can go north of the border
and look at
Canada. I mean, in Canada, if you actually need things like major transplants and things, you're in a lot of trouble. But for basic health care and for things like cancer prevention, etc., they do phenomenally well because people are always going there and they're making their regular visits and they're able to do the preventative.
Of taxes in Canada too, but.
Sure.
I don't like that elitist attitude that people have. Some people that have, they're usually people that have money.
Well,
let them pay $5 a gallon.
To a certain extent, and Francis, and I know that, I personally think that our fuel prices in America should be a little bit higher. I honestly would put a little bit more taxes into them, but I think it would it would hurt people at the outset. But think about it this way. Let's say that those Prius, let's say that all of a sudden, because our gas prices are $4 a gallon, the Prius all of a sudden would become a hotter commodity. It may go up in price a little bit, but what you also see is that everybody else would have to do a hybrid. So my guess is inside of 5 years, you would have hybrids that are at $11,000, $12,000, $15,000.
I'm sure they will be, but
Well, they exist in Europe right now. I mean, they exist in Europe. Yeah. They've got all sorts of little tiny hybrids and all sorts of little very fuel-efficient cars. And that's because of what their market has done to them. And so I look at this and think, well, if the car companies are not going to knock down their fuel efficiency standards, if the government's not going to do it, then fine. That's fine. Then what I will do is I will use the free market in order to do that.
Yeah,
and
well,
I think
the government should do something. I agree with you about that.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see them do it. But, again, we look at the idea. And the fun thing is that SUVs, light trucks, and our earlier caller from last hour, the gentleman that drives around in his CRV, Steve, I think the guy that also made you angry, he drives on his Honda CRV. The weird thing is with those smaller SUVs, the reason they're so big as far as production for the manufacturers is it allows them to produce their Yukons, their Denalis, their large SUVs and keep them very fuel inefficient because
those are ridiculous.
Well, yeah, but those little CRVs, then what they do is it's an average. So I take my little CRV, I take my Yukon, and I average my fleet, and then I have an average mile per gallon. As long as I've got two or three of them that are very fuel efficient, the rest of my fleet can be a huge behemoth gas guzzlers, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I understand that because I see these little women driving around these behemoths. They look like tanks and stuff. So.
Yeah. Like in Idaho Springs, Francis, Idaho Springs, you're getting around, you're handicapped. You've got a car that – do you have a car or an SUV that you drive?
Well, I have a van, actually.
Okay, a van.
A 96 Ford Aerostar van.
Now, looking at what you've got, in Idaho Springs has a little bit of a different climate, up there than we do here. Just, being up in the mountains, you get a little bit more snow and the like. How important do you think it is for you to have – or the people in Idaho Springs to have that type of an SUV or truck to get around in year-round. I mean,
well, my son has an old Toyota. It's a four-wheel drive, but you know, it's small.
Yeah.
And he gets – no, it's not a Toyota. Yeah, it is a Toyota.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he gets along fine. He's lived up here for more than 20 years, and it's up in the mountains. And, you know, the roads are – they're all bumpy. They're dirt roads, rocky and everything. So it's not a paradise for driving around.
No, but also not everybody's driving around in those gigantic SUVs. And I appreciate the phone call, Francis. And it's hard for me because I'm not a huge – I don't like lots and lots and lots of taxes. I think that taxes, there are portions in which taxes are responsible. I like responsible taxation, not egregious taxation. I just think that my view on the tax system itself is a lot like my view on pool investing. The idea that with tax money we can all get together as a country and do things that we cannot individually, just like when we take our extra money and invest it into mutual funds or invest it into companies or invest it into all sorts of other ideas and opportunities that we with a pool of money are able to do more than we could alone. And for me, that's how I approach the tax system. I want to make sure that we are efficient in how we're spending our money, that I use it as an investment system, that I am getting something out of it for the society, not necessarily a personal return, but I want something out of it if I'm going to actually turn around and invest into it with my taxes. But that's kind of a weird idea, and you should see my conservative friends, their eyes cross when I try to talk about that at parties. They look at me like I'm a loony, and some of you may be looking at me like that as well. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. Francis, I appreciate the phone call from Idaho Springs. Let's keep rolling and talk a little bit about gas prices, SUVs, and the like. Let's talk to Stephen on a cell phone. How you doing today, Stephen? Is it Stephen or Stefan?
Stefan.
Oh, Stefan. I wasn't too sure. Okay, Stefan, what do you have to say about SUVs, gas prices, and the like?
Well, first of all, the gas prices. Up until a couple of years ago, they posted on every gas pump here in Colorado that you were paying 34 cents per gallon tax, state mm-hmm. and federal.
Yeah.
And for those people who think we should be paying $4 a gallon for fuel, like they do in Europe, well, that's a good idea. Unfortunately, in Europe, unlike here, their minimum wage, like in Germany, is 15 marks, or now 15 euros per hour, whereas ours is about, what, $5, $6
yeah.
bucks an hour? Well, okay, if we're going to increase prices, we need to increase the standard of living so we can afford it. Another thing is with the...
Well, they also take a lot of your check, though. I mean, they take a lot of taxes and stuff out of it as well.
Yes,
I mean,
they do
have a high... They have a high minimum wage, but they also take a heck of a lot out, too.
True.
But, yeah, keep going.
Still, and in Europe, they still drive nice little cars, performance cars, stuff we will not see here in the United States
yeah.
before anytime soon. And when Porsche came out with their Cayenne SUV, the Germans still laugh all the way to the bank. I mean,
oh, yeah.
basically, that car was designed for the U.S. It's nothing to do much in Europe.
Yeah, nobody likes the SUVs and the Cayennes over in Europe. And the weird thing is that the other thing that they have over there that we haven't mastered are the turbo diesels. They have
yes,
phenomenal use of turbo diesels. I mean, it's a very efficient fuel, but they've figured out that, again, with the big diesel engines, they've got a lot of torque, but there's no low end oomph. And so they've put 1 and 2 turbochargers on the thing, you know,
yes.
blow the exhaust back into it, and all of a sudden these cars are a heck of a lot of fun to drive. And we don't do that at all over here.
They're a blast. We drove a turbo diesel Audi A6 wagon, and that thing blew like a sports car.
Yeah,
all-wheel drive, and it's a car we will not see here for the obvious reason of fuel economy, it seems like.
Yeah. Now, what's your opinion about the SUVs and how we're looking at SUVs in this country? Because, again, the rest of the world looks at us and goes, are you guys crazy that you're driving these big gigantic boxes around on wheels? What's your opinion? I mean, do you drive an SUV? Have you?
No. Originally, being a native in this state, if you
yeah.
drove an SUV, which then was a Chevy Suburban or a Jeep Wagoneer
oh, yeah. yep.
or something of the sort, you were either a construction company worker, a rancher, or a farmer. That was strictly a utilitarian vehicle.
Yep.
And if you had an AM radio in that car, that was considered a luxury.
Yep, I remember those. I've got friends that have a ranch out on the Eastern Plains, and I remember the first time that they had a radio that had a cassette player in it. They thought they were living high. They thought they had gotten the extras, and that was kind of interesting. And I've been talking to them, and they're real interested in how things have changed because they remember the trucks when they were buying them being, as you said, the utility vehicle that they did not ride very well, but they had a lot of towing capacity. You could hose them out, and they wouldn't rust out a lot. He said, but now when they go out and they're purchasing new trucks for the ranch, there are all sorts of extras that they don't need. I mean, they don't want cloth seats. They want vinyl, something that won't stain, that if you spill, you know, your pop or your can of chew on the seat next to you, it's not going to stink like chew
That's
for
true.
The next 3 weeks. But they don't have that. Now you have carpeted interior, and the walls are carpeted. And they said there are more, my friend on the ranch, Eric, said that there are more frills inside of these trucks now that just break. He goes, I don't care if I have power mirrors, because I'm not using those side mirrors a whole heck of a lot. And if I need to, I can stop the truck, get out, and adjust them. He goes, I don't need to have power windows and power doors and power everything. He goes, all that is stuff for dirt and dust and grime to get into and for me to spill stuff on and for it to break 3 months down the road.
Well, it's interesting because of the old farm utilities. I had a friend who had an uncle who was a farmer, and he brags that his uncle had a Lamborghini combine because Lamborghini actually made farm equipment before they went into sports cars.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
And it's incredible how things have changed in terms of, again, the vehicles that are being sought after today. And the thing is 20 years ago, again, if you saw a Suburban or even the old 4x4s, they called Chevy Scouts, old Blazers.
Yeah, the Scouts, geez.
And they were usually covered in dirt, or they had a ski rack on them.
Yeah.
Then again, friends of mine, and I used to accompany them, we made ski slopes without any problems in a Volkswagen, six people in the car, and... Well, the ski rack had more value of skis in monetary terms than the car itself was worth in those days, and yet we were able to get around.
Yeah, I did the same thing in my Volvo wagon. I used to throw the ski rack on the top and take all my friends up the hill, and we made it just fine in this four-cylinder Volvo wagon. There are times I thought we were going to have to get out and push as we're going up I-70 because the size of the engine and the air intake just wasn't there. They couldn't send, it just it wasn't getting enough air into the engine to really make it go that fast. But I think that was kind of a design that my father had in mind when he gave me that car. But yeah, it's interesting to see what we do and what we like to drive and why we like to drive these. And I remember the Scout. The Scout was actually a fun vehicle, and a friend of mine who was on the ski team. I was up on the Winter Park ski team for a while. He drove a Scout and actually had the removable roof, and we'd come in and tie it on back on every winter so that he could go up and make sure he could make it to ski team meetings on time and go up to practice. But he said that, you know, he was using that as, you know, it was his trash vehicle. He didn't use it to drive around town, didn't look at it and think that it was something that, you know, he was going to zip around town and use it like a Lamborghini. And that's the weird thing for me, Stefan, is that we run around and that I see the people driving their SUVs like they're driving a Lamborghini. And I'm kind of looking at this going, have we forgotten how to drive? Do we need to add a new course in driver education, or when you go and test, do we need to add a new classification to learn how to drive your SUVs? And I don't know, because I saw a bunch of people coming down from the mountains today that just simply did not have any clue how to drive their vehicles. Stefan, appreciate the phone call. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I'm going to talk to Ron and Richard when we come back right after this. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150, KNRC.
You wanted live local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We've got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm standing in the middle of Auraria Parkway. It's a traffic jam right now.
Whoa.
But on August 13th, it'll be part of the fastest 3 days of the summer when the Centrix Financial Grand Prix of Denver brings the very best of open-wheel racing right here to these city streets. Wow, I can see it now. Some of the best cars and drivers in the world screaming past me at 160 miles an hour. 2003 Champ Car champion Paul Tracy racing wheel-to-wheel with two-time Denver Grand Prix winner Bruno Junqueira. They'll be side-to-side into turn one. They'll hit the brakes and then pull almost 3 Gs as they accelerate past the Pepsi Center. Well, you get the idea. Don't miss the Centrix Financial Grand Prix of Denver. It's your only chance to see this international field of drivers. But it'll be much more than just a race. There'll be extreme sports, a lifestyle expo, and Sugar Ray playing live at the Universal Lending Pavilion Saturday, August 14th. Think of it as Denver at full throttle. And get your tickets to Ticketmaster by calling 303-830-TIXS or visit gpdenver.com. The Centrix Financial Grand Prix of Denver, August 13th through 15th.
Hey, get out of the road.
Okay, well, so I'm a little early.
That sucking sound you hear is our competitors sucking local dollars right to San Antonio or Atlanta. That's why when you listen to them, there is clutter, interrupted by occasional programming. Not here. Not here. Out-of-town ownership took your talk radio away. Locally owned AM 1150 KNRC is here to give it back to you. More talk, less clutter. More talk, less clutter. AM 1150 KNRC.
CNBC Business Radio. I'm Ted David with a sneak peek ahead at the week on Wall Street. Very busy week for economic data. We start on Monday with personal income and spending, followed on Tuesday by a look at consumer confidence. Of more concern Tuesday will be the start of a two-day Fed meeting at which Alan Greenspan and the rest of the FOMC will decide the fate of rates. Many expect a quarter-point hike. On Wednesday, look for the Chicago Purchasing Managers Report. July begins on Thursday with fresh data on auto sales, initial jobless claims, the ISM index, and construction spending. Friday, we wrap up the week with the June jobs number. Estimates are for the unemployment rate to hold steady at 5.6% and for non-farm payroll jobs to increase by 240,000. Hourly earnings expected to increase 0.3%. On the earnings front, next week, look for reports from Research in Motion, Biomet, Emmis Communications, and General Mills. It's a busy week, lots of data, and you can count on us to have it for you, all accurate and right here. Ted David, CNBC Business Radio.
You've been waiting for a sign. It's the banner in your Lincoln Mercury dealer's window, inviting you in right now for the best deals of the year during the one and only clearance sales event at your Lincoln Mercury dealer. Come in now for low financing or big cash back on top of your dealer's best model year-end price on every Lincoln and Mercury car, SUV, and minivan during the one and only clearance at your Lincoln Mercury dealer.
How to load the family vehicle for a 4th of July vacation. Step 1. Measure the allotted cubic feet of storage space. Step 2. Measure the cubic feet of family possessions to be loaded into said storage space. Step 3. At all costs, avoid saying the 7 unmentionable words. Your 3-year-old will just end up repeating them for the entire drive. This holiday road tip is brought to you by GEICO. Stay alert, drive safe, save money.
Have a financial question? Email us, Integra@knrcradio.com, and Willis Ashby will respond. Integra@knrcradio.com. Listen to Willis Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55, exclusively with Doug Kellett on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:24 here on AM 1150 KNRC. My name's Bill Thorpe. Enid Goldstein will return a week from today. We're chatting a little bit with you about SUVs, driving, gas prices, and the like. I'm sure that all of you have had to fill up on the pump at some point over your travels this weekend. Not even saying that you got out of town, but you probably were driving around enough, either taking the kids to go see fireworks or getting out and going shopping or doing something. You had to fill up at the pump. So just want to talk a little gas prices, but really the genesis of this was me coming down from the mountain this morning watching a bunch of, well, let's say tools in their SUVs, basically not knowing what they were doing or how to pilot their vehicles down the mountain. And I look at this and just think, you can't possibly be this dumb, but I don't know. I've kind of given up hope, and my wife and I actually play a game with the luxury SUVs. We look around, and every time we see one, we try to see whether or not it's even been close to a dirt road. Not necessarily even being off-road. We're just talking to see if it's been near a dirt road, and it's frighteningly shocking how many times you see a BMW, an Infiniti, an Lexus, a Mercedes that don't even have a single scratch on them, and you know have never been even close to the type of four-wheel driving that they claim to use those for. But we'll see. I just want to see what you think about this. 303-382-1150. Let's go to Ron in Lakewood. Ron, how are you doing today?
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Doing good. You have a good fourth, Ron?
Hey, I sure did.
Good.
Hey, I've got to correct this one man who called last about. He says now the Germans were once working for 15 marks. Now they're getting 15 euros.
Yeah.
The man is out of his mind. Why doesn't he use his math? Before the euro came into effect 2 years ago or a year and a half ago,
yeah,
a mark was worth two. There was 2.5 marks to the dollar.
Okay.
Now a euro is worth $1.23. Tell that man who's listening, do your math.
That's true.
That's quite a pay jump, baby.
That is. See, I didn't know what it was trading at, so I have no idea on that end. But that's
euro's
thank you.
About $1.23. The British pound's worth $1.83.
Huh. Now, what do you think about the idea of, you know, over in Europe, the gas taxes and what we're doing with gas prices over here?
Okay, the reason why it's so high is, first of all, they don't have any natural oil resources except for a little bit in the North Sea.
Yeah, they don't at all.
And you talk like countries like Germany, Austria, they got to import that stuff and they got to pay for it.
Yeah, they do.
We have a lot of domestic sources we mix in, like the Gulf of Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, California.
Yeah, got a pretty sweet deal
Colorado.
To a certain extent, yeah.
Yeah. And besides, when they build their cars over there, they're built for economy. I've got a European, a high-performance European car myself.
Yeah.
And over there on the autobahns, they do 100 to 120 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And there's no speed limit where it's allowed.
Yep.
And the roads are built for it. You try that here with a piece of crap that comes out of Detroit, and you drive on these interstates. The interstates are garbage.
Yeah,
they're constantly repairing the interstates once every 10 years.
Yeah, there's a point when I was going up and down Burford. There's a one place up there in Burford Pass where you make this turn, and the entire turn is nothing but washboard. And the weird thing is it's been that way for as long as I can remember, since I was a kid.
And they've been working on Burford Pass for years. Remember they had that big accident? They were working on it when that boulder fell and wrecked that bus back in the 80s?
Yep, they were still working on it. They were working on it a couple of years ago, and I saw them repave this one stretch and thinking, wow, it's not going to be like that. Next time I went up there, sure enough, same washboard.
Because I tell you what, I've got a Volvo S8.
Yeah, good car.
And I got I've had the car for 2 years except for normal maintenance. Hadn't had a thing wrong with it. It's built like a tank. I would challenge Detroit to build a car like that.
Yeah, and now what do you think has gone wrong with our country as far as how we're building them? Because I was happy when some of the larger European manufacturers are kind of coming over here and we're beginning to share some technology, and hopefully with some of the U.S. manufacturers, you know, buying things like Saab and getting, you know, partial ownership in Subaru.
Well, GM bought Saab.
Yeah, and they did.
And Saab still builds its own car under GM direction.
Yeah, which is nice. I'm hoping that GM could maybe leech off some of their knowledge, though, because as far as a winter driving automobile, I'm in love with Saabs for just a four-door sedan and how it performs in the snow. I love them. It's like driving a snowplow.
Hey, get in my S80 sometime. You want a winter car.
Oh, I've heard those are so good as far as the winter. And I was always happy. I mean, I drove. My first car was a 80s Volvo wagon, and the thing was a tank. It had a four-cylinder engine, wouldn't go that fast, but it actually performed very well inside of the snow, and I very rarely got stuck because it was a station wagon, as long as I took the time to take like one or two 20-pound bags of kitty litter just in the wintertime and toss it in the rear tailgate. If I had that back there, I had enough weight, and it would balance it out, and it really did wonderfully.
The other thing is as far as taxes and stuff is, those auto bonds and those other roads don't come cheap, and they got to pay for it. Plus, there's other taxes that pay for some of the best public transportation in the world over there. I have yet to see, with the exception of the Northeast Corridor.
Yeah.
And I've been back to Europe many times since I was stationed in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
In Germany, they got an ICE train.
I've heard about it, but I have not traveled it.
These are like the TGV in France.
Yeah.
They can go between Berlin and Frankfurt now. They just opened up a new ICE after the wall fell.
Yeah.
These ICE trains can go up to 220 miles an hour.
Jeez.
Or like in France, you can go to Marseille to Paris at the same speed, or go from London to Paris under the tunnel at 220 miles an hour.
Yeah,
we don't even have squat like that.
Yeah, we can't figure out how to do that. I took a train ride with when my oldest son was really young. We figured we didn't want to spend 3 hours going down to Grand Junction to see friends of ours in the car. We figured, okay, we'll take the train.
You took the Zephyr.
Get down there. Well, actually, it was an Amtrak. I don't know what
the Zephyr.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And we went down there. We figured, okay, we'll go down there and we will, you know, travel on the rails. It'll be fun. It'll be nice scenery, and that, you know, our son Max can run around the cars and we can do all sorts of stuff. To go from here to Grand Junction in a car is about 3 hours. On the Amtrak train...
Yeah, you're moving it.
And on the Amtrak train, it took us 9 hours to go there. Because I didn't know this until I actually got on the train, that during the daytime, because of the rails and the condition of the rails, passenger trains are not allowed to go faster than 30 miles an hour. So we went from here to Grand Junction going 30 miles an hour.
And you know what the other reason is, and I'm sort of a railroad nut... Most of that is one rail, and Burlington Northern Santa Fe plus Union Pacific run about 35 freight trains a day on that thing.
Yeah, and they don't want the passengers on there. They want to be able to run the train.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, they get mad.
but seriously, you talk about fuel prices compared to this, and you talk about SUVs. I've lived in Colorado all my life.
Yeah.
One of the first cars I had, remember the old 1950s-style Jeepsters?
Oh, yes, I do, yeah.
I used to go off-roading all the time. Went to places like Engineer Pass.
Yeah.
Keebler Pass.
Yep.
And you learned how to drive that, because there were times up there where I had when I ran into a snowbank in the middle of July, I had to back up 5 miles on a shelf road.
Oh, jeez.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, man. Ron, thanks a lot for the phone call. I appreciate it. And that's what I keep looking at, is that those times when Ron was using the things like the Jeepsters and using these cars and these SUVs, he was using them in the manner in which they were supposed to be used. And I keep looking around, seeing all these SUV drivers. I know the guy that lives across the street from me, other than to maybe get through a heavy snowbank, has never, ever, ever used his SUV for anything that it is supposed to be so good for. He doesn't need it, but that's what I look at, is the conspicuous consumption that we have. have, and this is all germinated because of my trip down Berthoud Pass in my 70 this morning, watching a whole bunch of people in these giant SUVs drive like idiots and not really understand what their cars are doing, how to drive them, or even have more than one person inside the car, which I look at and go, if you need the large car, maybe you need to haul something, maybe you need to pull something. Nobody was doing that. None of the cars were dirty. Ron, I appreciate the phone call. I'm going to get to Richard on the cell phone real quickly before we run to the next break and talk to Tim McLaughlin on the news and catch up on what's happening around the world. And then Jim in Federal Heights and maybe your phone calls at 303-382-1150. Richard, thanks a lot for hanging on the cell. How are you doing today?
I'm just fine. What do you think the last thing the SUV guy wants to see when he goes is going up the west side of Berthoud?
What is it that he wants to see?
Rearview mirror. It's what? Me and my 20-year-old Mercedes turbo diesel wagon closing on him at 80 miles an hour.
Your wagon will do that fast?
It will go. It will do 78 in third gear.
Wow. Jeez.
And it will pull Berthoud from Winter Park to the top.
Yeah.
I average about 65 to 70 all the way up.
Wow. Now, I know, knowing Mercedes-Benz in passing, I know that those turbos, it's a turbo diesel, right?
Yes.
Now, that's the weird thing, is that we don't bring the diesels over here, especially given how efficient they are. But we have, you know, the little nasty particulates that people in California and the like don't like as far as the diesel engines.
Well,
but what,
well,
but
go,
they're more
go
efficient.
Down, go down and have them go down to your friendly Mercedes dealer in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And take a look at the new E320 CDI diesel.
I read something about that in a Car and Driver, and that car is going to be so fast.
240 horsepower, something like that.
Jeez.
0 to 60 in 6.4 seconds.
Gosh, all with a diesel.
35 miles to the gallon, about 750 miles on the tank of fuel.
Jeez. I mean, that's just silly. And why we don't bring those type of cars over here, because Mercedes, BMW, all even Lexus over in the Asian Pacific Rim and Infiniti, they all produce cars that'll do these type of performance numbers. But instead, we here in America turn around and we buy the gigantic Yukon or the Denali or the Durango, and we get 11 to 12 to 13 miles to the gallon, and then we stand around and not understand what we're doing.
You can buy any one of those. You know, a Suburban or an Explorer or any of those big things like that. You can buy them with diesels in them.
Yeah, you can.
It costs you about 10 grand more, but you can buy them with diesels. And we don't see many here, but I've talked to some friends of mine in Texas, and they're pretty common down there, and they're pretty common in the Midwest.
Huh, now that's strange.
They get a lot better gas, fuel mileage than do the gas burners.
Oh, yeah, phenomenally better.
For some reason, they're not a popular item here, and part of the reason you're not seeing some of this newer diesel technology, we still have a little too much sulfur in our diesel fuel. When they get that toned down a little bit, you'll probably see a lot more of them. Mercedes is talking about bringing some other models in besides
the E-Class, because
the
E-Class is a little expensive, and I do like that.
That's
one of my that's very expensive. The fun part is that I do love that feeling that you've got when you go up Berthoud Pass and you're going up the mountains and you watch the SUVs and they watch your sedan, your Mercedes Turbo and a few of the others, and you're coming up and you're gaining on them. I mean, I was coming up Berthoud Pass, coming down from the mountains. I was on the Winter Park side coming up, and there was a guy in an Infiniti, a really fancy SUV, and he was staying in the left-hand lane and kept trying to pass people.
Yeah.
And I don't think he liked it when inside of the Saab that I was driving, and of course the Saab has a turbocharger the size of a shop vac in it, that basically, I push on that pedal a little bit, and the turbocharger takes about, 15 seconds, spools up, and all of a sudden, whoop, and zoom, I go right by him, and he's kind of standing there like, wait a minute, and he tried to catch up as we were coming up the mountains, and you watch his car leaning at a 35 to 40 degree angle as he's trying to make these turns.
Well, a lot of them do not know how to drive the road, and I drive it quite a bit.
Yeah,
so
they have no
idea.
I
have an advantage over some others that don't.
Yeah, that go up and down that way.
I know how to make the road work to my advantage going up.
Exactly.
Either side.
And that's the part that gets me, is that people don't understand how to make that road work, and when they drive the SUVs, they don't understand the physics that's working against them.
You come up out of one switchback, the second switchback on the west side, and you got a pretty straight, you can straighten the road out, you can keep 70 miles an hour there for probably two miles or so.
Oh, yeah. It works
and
really well.
You go by and they look at what the hell are you doing.
What happened there?
Yeah.
Hey, Richard, I appreciate the phone call.
Care.
Thanks so much.
Don't give them hell.
I will. Thank you so much. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. It's almost time for news. We're going to have to step aside for a second here. Jim in Federal Heights and Stan, hang on a second. We'll try to get to you. Jim will be first up when we get back from this break. Hang with me. We'll talk about SUVs. We'll talk about gas prices. Hopefully, you're making your way down from the highways, or at least you're wandering around town here on your July 5th, enjoying your day off. And look around. See to your left. Left, to your right, in front of you, and behind you. Chances are there are at least two or three SUVs around there, and is there anybody else riding in those cars? Are they pulling anything? Is there anything that they're hauling? Do they have stuff packed into the back of that car? Are they have three, four, five different people with them? What are they doing? Does that car look like it's ever been dirty? Does it look like it's ever actually been off-road? What have they done? They have a sport utility vehicle. Other than using it as a vehicle, have they ever used it for sport? Ever used it for utility? That's the part that I get. As we get into this conspicuous consumption, where if you have a sport utility vehicle, I would assume you would use it for sport or use it for utility, not just use it for a vehicle. Because if that's all you're doing, you're wasting my time, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your energy. And problem is, the majority of you, when you get behind the wheels of those cars, have no idea what you are doing. 303-382-1150. Am I off my rocker? Let me know. If you agree, also let me know. 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150 KNRC. And now for the man who we have oftentimes talked about. We need higher taxes just for the information quotient of his newscast. And that is Tim McLaughlin. We thought that maybe, you know, we could try with the listeners, you know, get a little more extra revenue because there's so much information in these newscasts. We could tax them on it. But so far, it's kind of falling flat. Yeah. They don't like that around here.
I'm the sports utility vehicle of news. Right?
Exactly. So. That's exactly it. We pay you a lot, and you don't really go that fast.
Oh, you're paying
sometimes
me
you
a
tip
lot?
Over.
Somebody didn't tell me that.
Well, for your skill level, we'll pay you a heck of a
thanks.
Lot. I'm just teasing. What's going on, Tim?
Partly cloudy in 84 right now. A suspect from an officer-involved shooting still at large today. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
And we're just getting word of an injury action involving a pedestrian at 27th and Federal. The fire department will be there just about now because the fire station is just a block away. Everything else in the freeway system is much, much lighter than usual this afternoon because of the holiday. Traffic congestion, of course, eastbound through the I-70 corridor in the mountains. Car count for the Eisenhower Tunnel was 2760 the last hour. That's down about 200 cars in the last 2 hours or so. Even so, count on some congestion all the way from there down to the Twin Tunnel when you actually get more lanes of traffic with which to work. Pep Boys has the information. Get to Pep Boys Tire Sales Event. Save up to 20% on popular touring and performance tires and get a free shopping cart worth up to $100 with 4 installed tires. See the store for details, Pep Boys, parts, service, and so much more. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
At about 2 this morning, an off-duty Denver police officer was trying to stop a fight outside the MGM nightclub on South Wolf Street when he saw two suspects shooting at each other. The officer fired, hitting one of the suspects in the leg. That suspect taken to Denver Health. The other suspect, though, took off and still hasn't been located. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. Investigators have begun sifting through the ashes of an apartment complex in Adams County that caught on fire yesterday. 24 units were damaged or destroyed, up to 8 people taken to the hospital, although none of their injuries were thought to be life-threatening. Some residents told investigators that fireworks sparked the blaze, while others have said it was a propane tank on one of the balconies that exploded. 9 people received minor injuries last night at a fireworks display in Aurora. A misfire sent a mortar shell into a crowd, injuring 3 kids and 6 adults. All 9 treated and released. Investigators still trying to figure out what caused that malfunction. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-2GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 1:40.
The stage is set.
Real action is what we need.
Decision 2004.
If you're in a period of transition, you must help people make that transition.
Continuing coverage.
The clock is ticking.
This should be an interesting debate.
From your best choice for the info regarding the election in 2004. AM 1150, KNRC.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis and eczema for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, is the only treatment I've used that actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch, no more bleeding, and I haven't had a flare-up since I started using it. Look, I'm in a t-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skin Zinc is the only product that's helped. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you, they don't. It's really the closest thing to a medical miracle.
Call now for your 30-day risk-free trial of Skin Zinc at 800-837-0523. It's guaranteed. Call 800-837-0523. Active ingredient is FDA approved. Call 800-837-0523. That's 800-837-0523.
Two, three.
Taking a look at the KNRC weather forecast. Partly cloudy skies through the afternoon. Maybe some scattered thunderstorms. That'll pretty much be the same forecast for this evening. It'll become mostly cloudy with a chance of some showers after midnight, around 50 for tonight's low. Mostly cloudy to start the day. Maybe some showers. Partly cloudy later with scattered thunderstorms. And a high in the mid to the upper 70s. Partly cloudy and 84 now. KNRC News Time is 1:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
There's nothing better than a Colorado evening filled with music and beautiful Colorado sunsets. This Sunday and every Sunday, all summer long, join AM 1150 KNRC at the Hudson Gardens and Event Center summer concert series, Gigs in the Gardens. Relax in the beautiful gardens and listen to great music. This Sunday, it's Denver's Queen of the Blues, Hazel Miller. Pick up the phone and order your tickets by calling 303-797-8565, extension 321, or order online at www.hudsongardens.org. Tickets are $7.50 for adults, and kids are just $2. Gates open at 5:30, and the music begins at 6:30. The Hudson Gardens and Event Center offers a great concession stand with beer and wine. Plan to come early and bring a picnic dinner for Hazel Miller. And don't miss next Sunday, July 18th, Wendy Wu, sponsored in part by Westward and brought to you by AM 1150 KNRC.
More and more Denver radio listeners are tuning to AM 1150 KNRC and our unique Both Sides Talk approach.
This is the only radio station that I have programmed into my radio at home.
I think it's absolutely wonderful that the station has as a goal that it wants to hear both sides.
Perhaps you'll be our next satisfied customer. Hear Both Sides Talk. Our personalities welcome opposing sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
.44 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Ah, the quartet that is now a trio, REM, playing in the background. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein, talking a little bit with you today about SUVs, drivers, gas prices. You've probably been out driving around this weekend and have hit, you know, some of those gas prices, which nicely have been dropping. That is nice. I wouldn't be too averse to some more taxes on our gases, on our gas prices, but I wouldn't want that just to push up the gas prices. I would like to break in my taxes elsewhere, too. I'm not going to make this just a, hey, raise the taxes. No, I'd like to balance it out somewhere. If you're going to raise my price of gas, which I think, honestly, would be a decent way to start pushing better fuel economy, then I would like to have a break somewhere else, pretty please. That's kind of how I would work. I don't want to just raise taxes wholeheartedly because I'm not one that likes large taxes. I kind of look at it, though, that taxes, we need to have them implemented responsibly, because just like investing, we are able to do more together than we are alone. And so pooling our money for, you know, some society ills is not a bad idea, but no, don't like being taxed to the nose. And talking to you today about the SUVs, mostly because of me coming down the mountain to Berthoud Pass in I-70 today and seeing a vast majority of people behind the wheels of SUVs, not using them A, for sport, B, for utility, or even being able to pilot them properly. And I just couldn't believe that. And this is coming from a person who talked about, you know, driving fast and driving last Friday with you. But I do it in a tiny car. I do it in an automobile, either a family sedan or a tiny sports car, that allows me to do things, that allows me to make turns and to brake and to downshift and to do things that you simply can't do in an SUV. And when you're driving your SUV, like I drive my sports car, tells me you don't really understand physics, that you don't really know what's going on behind that car. But we'll find out. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I'm going to jump to Jim in Federal Heights real quickly, hung through the break. Jim, thanks for hanging through that news break. I know it's a long one. How are you doing today?
Oh, yeah, but I enjoyed the news break.
Oh, good.
Very interesting, uplifting.
Oh, good.
I'm doing fine, except gas is too high, and I've put a lot of thought into this, and I'm opposed to raising the price of gas.
Okay, why?
Well, because that affects some things that aren't obvious. I do warranty work and that sort of thing on homes, and I have one-ton vans on the road, so you raise the price of the gas, the price of my services go up, and it gets passed on. And like the woman called in with a little old lady, and they don't have much choice but to drive their car and so on and so forth, and the price, well, that's fine. I can get her, you know, she's going to pay for it in her roof repair, so...
Yeah, she will. And that's the part that, when I look at it and I say that I'm willing to go higher on gas taxes, that's the part that, worries me about it. That's why I'm not a, whole, you know, supporter and going, gosh, we need to be paying $5 a gallon for gas. But there may be a little bit of a, wiggle room for me. But again, if we could, you know, knock down some taxes, some services for you elsewhere and maybe balance it out, it'd work a little bit better for me. But continue on.
Well, I think the way to solve this, like I say, I put a fair amount of thought in it, is create two types of license plates, commercial and homeowner type plates.
Yeah.
If you own a one-ton van and, or a one-ton truck or dually or something, and you're running a construction company and it's legitimate and you've got licenses and you can prove it's a construction company, then you can go down and buy some pretty reasonable license plates.
Yeah.
But when you live in Castle Rock and you've got a one-ton Ford power-stroke diesel dually truck and you make your living punching buttons on a keyboard in downtown Denver and you run this to and from every day, those plates should be huge. So huge that you may want to consider going to something more economical to license in a smaller car.
I like that idea because, Jim, I've been struggling with that as well, is because I don't like the idea if we're paying higher gas prices or whatever it is that we're doing with far as cars, that I think that we should, you know, maybe massage the free market system to make sure we have better fuel efficiency. But I've always had that problem with the people like yourselves and the over-the-road truckers and some other people that use their, like the guy that lives behind me, you know, Dave and Julie. When Dave is out there, when he's driving around, he uses his pickup truck for his business. I mean, he works in, they do some deck repair and some roofing and some things like that, and he's always got the back of his truck full. And the same thing for the guy that works, that lives across the street from me, that works in construction. And I look at that going, man, if we're going to do higher gas prices, it's going to hurt him. But I keep looking at the guy three doors down from me who has his Durango, who never uses it for the sport or utility aspect of the vehicle. And I look at this and go, how can we figure out that, you know, numbnuts down the street doesn't need that car, but, you know, the guys that I do know that need it up the street can still operate it. And this is not a bad solution. I kind of like this.
Well, it started 2 years ago, Rush Limbaugh, which, you know, basically you come to America, you work hard, you get ahead, you make the big bucks.
Yeah,
if
that's not supposed to work.
If you can afford an SUV, you ought to be allowed to have an SUV.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with that, except that it winds up hurting other things. And I'm just saying maybe you can afford an SUV, but you might want to consider a hybrid when you look at a 100-to-1 difference in license plate cost.
See, that could be fun. The idea that if you're using it only for personal, you know, for personal use, then you actually, it charges more to license it and that registration every year that you're paying. I like that idea a lot because, again, it's not, you're not necessarily differentiating the amount of gas that you're paying at the pump. But for someone that's using it for business, it makes it much more economical for yourself. And maybe you take out that bite of the gas by charging you less to renew your car every year. That's not a bad idea.
Well, I drive a small car.
Yeah.
But my business vehicles are one-ton vans, and I don't have a choice. It's not that I made tons of money that I want to hot rod around Denver in a one-ton van.
Yeah.
No, I drive a small car, but it's not just the gas you're using. Good grief. Oil gets used for plastics, for making artificial heart valves and everything else. So just because you can afford an SUV or a Hummer and drive it to and from Vail every day, that's fine.
Yeah.
Except you're hurting a lot of other people. And you'll see this in your watering restrictions, too, when the covenant-controlled neighborhoods are able to buy permits.
Yeah, exactly.
If we're short on water, I don't really care how much money you've got. There is no permit.
I'm kind of that way, too. And I do. And I think that, you know, oil is, in many ways, the lifeblood of our country and the world economy because there's so many different things. I just read something the other day that there's some forms of fertilizer that we actually use oil-based products for that was kind of interesting. And I was like, that I never knew as far as how deeply our, you know, basis for our petroleum economy went. And that was real interesting for me. But the idea that I see that with the watering restrictions that, yeah, some of the covenant-controlled communities can go ahead and, you know, they can buy a lien or they can buy basically gives them extra watering time. And I look at that and go, that really doesn't make that much sense to me.
Well, no, not if there's really a shortage. And this whole oil thing, I've gotten very angry over it because this last time we've had these price increases, people have been whining and crying about the price of gas. But in reality, our first gas shortage was back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And since that first gas shortage, we have done absolutely nothing to decrease our dependency on oil. And what we have done is we have increased and increased and increased our consumption.
Yeah.
So what we've done isn't working.
No, it isn't.
We've went from the mini cars to the SUVs.
Yeah.
And from the big vans down to the mini cars back to pickup trucks.
Yeah.
And we're not doing anything. And I'm not a tree hugger by any means, but I still think you're destroying part of my planet just burning this stuff because you have the money to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm on that too, that just because you have the money, I don't like the idea that you're then able to do that type of, you know, the money will get you around some of those laws. And the real fun thing for me that we're going to watch, you and I can watch this together, Jim, over the next couple of years, I would say the next decade, is with the emerging economy, especially inside of China, all of a sudden there are going to be more than a billion people over there that are going to be pushing for fuel. Now, depending on what the government over there does, if they really open it up and really start looking at the idea that most Chinese should be driving cars rather than riding bicycles to and from work, and they look at the idea of not as much, you know, not really mass transit, but this individual consumerism, which is probably where it's going to be going, what's going to happen to the international oil markets when we may not be, as the U.S., the dominant buyer? And that's what we are right now. We are the dominant buyer. So when we say jump, many times the OPEC countries, they don't want to, but they have to ask how high. They, of course, like to feel that they are totally and completely in control of their oil markets, but they are dependent largely upon what we want them to do, because we are the largest purchaser of the oil. And so what would happen if we have the billion consumers over in China and they all of a sudden outpace us? And what if we're the number two or number three person on that list as far as what we want for the oil? What happens then to our economy, and where do we sit? And that's what I'm worried about. I think China is going to create a lot more problems for us as a free market capitalist economy than they ever did as a communist economy. Come on. Communism is stupid. A planned economy telling me what I'm going to produce, how much, and tell it where? That's just moronic. But when they actually turn around and start looking at the idea of a capitalist economy and letting the free market play back and forth, and they then start competing with us for our resources on a national, international scale, then we have an interesting card game. That may be fun to watch. You and I will watch that here, Jim, in the next couple of years. I'm running late for a break. Hey, Dave, hang on with me. I'm going to make this break really quick so I can spend a lot of time with you on the other end. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. We're talking about SUVs, gas prices, and what are you seeing on the roads as you're driving around on this July 5th? 303-382-1150. I'll talk to you right after this, Dave. This is AM 1150, KNRC.
Your summer passport for news and information. Identification, please.
Where talk happens. AM 1150 KNRC.
Enjoy your summer.
Get to Pep Boys' July 4th sales blast and save on a Razor Pocket Rocket, just $199, or an APC 43cc mini sport bike for only $399 through Monday. Pep Boys, parts, service, and so much more.
Is your credit holding you back? Are you getting the interest rates you deserve? Is your credit report accurate? There is a way to find out instantly and online. Just log on to freecreditreport.com. At freecreditreport.com, you can get unlimited access to your credit report and receive daily email alerts if key changes occur. Log on today to freecreditreport.com. Find out how you can get your credit report free at freecreditreport.com.
How can I keep her safe when she always seems to be running away from me? It used to be so much easier to find solutions to her problems. Now, I don't even understand the questions, let alone have any answers.
The Girls and Boys Town National Hotline can help you find those answers. We've been working with teenagers for over 50 years and would like to share what we've learned about parenting. Call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3000.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
It may not be your fault you're overweight. Defeat the hormones that keep you fat and learn why even doctors are ordering Quarter Slim. 1-800-LOSS-139. 1-800-LOSS-139. 800-LOSS-139.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:55 here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm going to talk to Dave here in just a second. I heard one of those commercials saying that, you know, it may not be my fault that I am fat. I'm carrying around a little extra weight. You know whose fault it is? Mine. You know why? I have a problem with two words. I'm full. Can't say them. Not doing too well. And chocolate. I know it's my fault. My butt can't stop eating at times. If I did not have my late night snacks and I did not indulge in ice cream before I went to bed, I'd probably look a little more svelte. But I love that chocolate. So I'm sorry. It is my fault that I am a little bit pudgy. I've got no problems with that. An ad telling me it may not be my fault. Of course it's my fault. Two words. I'm full. I have problems with those. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I'm going to jump to Dave on a cell phone real quick. Dave, thanks for hanging. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good. What do you want to say about gas prices, SUVs, and the like?
Well, actually, I was going to comment on your last thing. That's exactly true.
Yeah.
We Americans tend to
externalize.
We do, don't we? We kind of say, it can't be my fault that I'm a fat, gluttonous pig. It can't be the fact that I've just eaten 3 Snickers and a package of, you know, Juju Fruits. It can't be that.
And if there's a way we can blame somebody else, it's so much easier.
Exactly, because it's not our fault.
Be responsible for ourselves.
Yep.
No, I've just been listening. I really didn't have too much to comment until I pulled up to a red light.
Yeah.
And I want to make a right turn.
Okay.
Which is allowed.
Yep.
But I look to the left, and what am I staring at? I'm staring at the front tire of a sport utility vehicle. It's not only over the stop line, he's clearing the crosswalk. Now, if a pedestrian comes, either the pedestrian puts himself in jeopardy by walking out into the side or the cross traffic, or he has to cut around behind it. And the sport utility driver just sits there and looks at you like, well, what's your problem? Why are you looking at me? I'm looking at you because you're holding me up.
Yeah, because I can't turn because your moronic butt couldn't stop where he needed to.
And it's okay because I'm bigger than you. And the lady, and I don't mean to be sexist or anything, she looks over at me like I'm better than you, and it's okay for me to hold you up. But if you're the one that's holding, if she were to say, if you're the one holding me up now, that's an issue.
Oh, yeah. Then she would be very mad about it. In fact, I was stopping, and I had to get some caffeine to keep myself awake on the show today. And I stop and pull into a 7-Eleven or some of the other convenience stores, and I park, and, you know, I park next to the side so nobody can, you know, park next to me and, you know, ding my doors or anything else. So I park next to the curb. And so I park over there, and I get out, and there is a giant Ford F-150, and it is probably jacked about 6 inches higher than it needs to. And so I look over, and I'm looking about the middle of the guy's door. And look at this going, how am I going to back up? What is this possibly going to do here? So I just slowly start creeping out and hope that, you know, hopefully somebody else in their SUV is watching what they're doing and not going to rear-end me while I'm trying to get out of my parking space.
Well, they're the ones that are in the front space at the grocery store.
Yep.
In the front space, like you said, at the convenience store. And most, I think a lot of them are oblivious to the problems that they cause.
Oh, yeah, completely and totally oblivious. I mean, I knew these guys coming down the highway today, and they were driving, doing things in their cars. They absolutely shouldn't have been, and they were completely and totally oblivious. I mean, this one guy in this bright red Yukon, I've told the story, is coming down. We're coming down I-70 after we joined it, coming down Berthoud. We're on I-70, and he's coming down, I think, Vail, Breckenridge is where he's got the little space headset so he can go hands-free when he's talking on his cell phone. And he's talking, and he's in the left-hand lane. We're doing about 75 or so coming down the mountain, and every turn he's either wide or shallow. And I'm looking at this going, do you understand what you're doing? Are you even watching little, you know, broken white lines? Are you watching those at all when we're turning these corners? But he isn't, because every single time he's going wide, and then he's going shallow on the next one. And I'm looking at this going, you dork. I mean, how can you possibly be this dumb?
Well, and he doesn't know how to control that size of vehicle.
Yep. Has no clue. Maybe, Dave, we need to find a special license. Every time everybody wants to drive an SUV, we take them to driver's ed and make them pass a different test to see if they can actually handle that vehicle.
Well, and I have in past careers taught numerous driving courses, whether it's emergency vehicle, live after 55, any of those kind of things. And it's just amazing what even a seasoned driver does not know about the physics of operating a motor vehicle.
It's really amazing, Dave. I appreciate it. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Rosalind Jordan at the White House. Chances are you're listening to me in a car and you're not going as fast as you'd like. AAA's Mantel Williams says millions of Americans just like you are trying to get home from their holiday getaway.
We're expecting about 39.4 million people to be traveling, and of that, about 34.4 will be going by car. That's actually a record number of people traveling for the 4th of July weekend.
And that's despite higher gasoline prices. Williams says more Americans are on the move in part because they're less worried about terrorism. U.S. officials confirmed they've carried out another air raid in the Iraqi city of Fallujah. U.S. forces are targeting suspected terrorist hideouts, trying to catch Abu Musab al-Zarqawi and his followers. And some see it as a sign of hope in a country where hope is often a rare commodity. Coca-Cola is opening a bottling plant in Somalia, which has been torn apart by civil war. I'm Rosalind Jordan, NBC News Radio.
How to load the family vehicle for a 4th of July vacation. Step 1. Measure the allotted cubic feet of storage space. Step 2. Measure the cubic feet of family possessions to be loaded into said storage space. Step 3. At all costs, avoid saying the 7 unmentionable words. Your 3-year-old will just end up repeating them for the entire drive. This holiday road tip is brought to you by GEICO. Stay alert, drive safe, save money.
I only want to be with you.
If
You've been waiting for a sign. It's the banner in your Lincoln Mercury dealer's window, inviting you in right now for the best deals of the year during the one and only clearance sales event at your Lincoln Mercury dealer. Come in now for low financing or big cash back on top of your dealer's best model year-end price on every Lincoln and Mercury car, SUV, and minivan during the one and only clearance at your Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 84 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Police are looking for a suspect from last night's officer-involved shooting. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic. Here's Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Just cleaning up on an injury accident at 27th and Federal in Northwest Denver. Should be out of the way here in just a few minutes. Also an accident, sounds like an accident anyway. Car hit a bicycle. 19th Street and Pinnell Road in Golden. Pinnell Road is just west of the interchange with Highway 6 and 19th Street. Freeway traffic, by and large, still much lighter than usual because of the holiday. 2,700 cars made it through the Eisenhower Tunnel eastbound at the 1 o'clock hour. We'll have another update for you in about a half an hour there. And it sounds like traffic is loosening up ever so slightly there, but still count on some delays all the way down to the Twin Tunnels. Albertsons has the information. Monday is Cheap Chicken Day at Albertsons. 8 mouth-watering pieces of fresh fried chicken. Only $3.99 at Cheap Chicken Day. Mondays at Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
An off-duty Denver police officer was involved in a shooting at about 2 this morning. He was trying to stop a fight outside the MGM nightclub on South Wolf Street. According to DPD spokesman Sonny Jackson, the officer saw two suspects shooting at each other. He fired at one of the suspects, hitting him in the leg. That suspect taken to Denver Health. The other suspect is at large. This report brought to you by Key Bank. Aurora fire officials trying to figure out how a fireworks display last night went bad. Three children, six adults, were about 600 feet away when they were hurt by a misfire at Bicentennial Park. Here's Captain Chris Henderson.
Well, we're going to try to find out what exactly went wrong. The firework actually detonated in the launching tube, so we don't know what caused the malfunction of the actual fireworks. So that's what we're looking at right now.
The misfire ignited a mortar shell, sending it into the crowd. All nine victims were treated and released. Henderson says it's doubtful the fireworks company, Oklahoma-based Western Enterprises, will face any charges. A celebration today for Frontier Airlines, which turned 10 years old. The airline celebrated with a party at Denver International Airport. Frontier started off with 180 employees and two planes. They've now grown to 4,500 employees and 46 planes. In sports, the Colorado Rockies in San Francisco today for a three-game series starting this afternoon. Aaron Cook climbs the hill for the Rocks. Today's game just getting underway. KeyBank promises response to your calls and emails within 24 hours. Call, visit, or email Key today and discover the key difference for yourself. Key, achieve anything. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 2:04.
What would you do if you were caught in a severe storm? The stock market fell. You saw a bad accident. Traffic was at a standstill. War broke out. Osama bin Laden captured. What should you do? Tune first for breaking news and to talk about it. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live on Saturday morning.
You can count on us to find the best hidden shopping gems in Denver.
And two of the best shopping treasures are The Perfect Petal and Posh, across the street from each other in the Highland neighborhood.
The Perfect Petal is a contemporary botanical boutique. This season, they're carrying the hot floral trend. Big, bold flowers in citrus colors or giant orchid stems. For your backyard, don't miss their glass-blown bird feeders and handmade torches.
Across the street is Posh, a glam boutique filled with romantic, European, and old-world inspired jewelry, housewares, glasswares, lighting, and unusual gifts.
And the best baby fashions and accessories in the city. No baby will look like your Posh baby when you shop at Posh's baby department. Don't forget their baby registry.
Posh and the Perfect Petal at Lowell and 32nd Avenue in the Highland neighborhood. Open Mondays through Saturdays, 9 to 8, and Sundays, 11 to 5. 720-855-8279. That's 720-855-8279.
Tell them Style Matters says they give good shopping.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to see temperatures cool a bit behind the front, the passing front bringing scattered thunderstorms our way, especially late afternoon and evening. After topping out around 85 for the high, we'll drop to about 51 for the overnight low, and you can expect a high tomorrow of 78. For the Weather Channel, I'm meteorologist Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150, KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 84 now. KNRC news time is 2:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:07 here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. I've got 1 hour left with you, and then Doug Kellett steps in. Yes, that's right. There is one of us here at the station that's actually going to be working his regular shift, and that's Doug Kellett. It's kind of nice to see the big chief in here this afternoon, and he and I were just goofing around during the news break. And, you know, tossing verbal insults back and forth at each other. They're always ideological, never personal. So it's always fun to check back and forth with Doug. He'll be coming up at 3 o'clock and spend the afternoon drive with you, 3 to 6. You know, before I get back to the phone calls here, talking more about SUVs, gas prices and things, I noticed this weird thing. I was up in one of the mountain towns this weekend watching some of the fireworks celebrations and wandering around town. And I started to feel old. Very old. I started to feel old because I was walking around town and I'm seeing these kids that are in high school and even in college. And I felt really old because I was kind of looking at this going, what are these young kids wearing? What are they doing with themselves? They're just loitering here in the park, and they're drinking and carousing, and then they have their loud music, and what are they doing? Somebody needs to teach these young whippersnappers what to do, and I felt old. I'm looking around at these kids, and I started thinking, the first time I see these three kids, I think they were late high school, early college, walking down, and I'm kind of looking at them going, what are you wearing? What is it that you've got on your body? What is it that you're wearing? And it wasn't because they were scantily clad. That probably would have, you know, distracted me, and I would have walked into a post. But if they were actually dressed like they were homeless. During college wasn't necessarily the best paragon of fashion, but they're wearing, like, White Castle t-shirts, and they're wearing, you know, the trucker hats, and it's almost the pseudo grunge, because grunge no longer, you can't have grunge anymore, but it's their version of grunge. And I keep looking at the fashion community thinking, have you run out of ideas? Is this just, you're going to go back and see what was good 10 years ago and try to turn it around and use it for something else? There's no imagination here. And the best part about it for me was wandering around and seeing all the trucker hats and trucker-esque wear that they all had on. And the fun part about it is because if you follow the fashion community, you'll know there is one maker out there, Von Deutsch, I believe is how you pronounce it. And they have done a lot of these trucker hats and pseudo 70s t-shirts and things like that. And a lot of the quote trucker type wear. And if anybody who's anybody has to be seen in a Von Deutsch trucker hat, the thing that I keep looking at is this Von Deutsch trucker hat. This is a trucker hat where it's, you know, the foam or whatever it is at the front half, and then you've got the mesh so you can sweat through the rest of the two-thirds of the hat and the thick, heavy brim. And then you put the Von Deutsch name on it. You buy that specific hat, you're probably paying $30 to $50 for that trucker hat. I got a little hint for you. If you would actually go into, say, a truck stop, you can buy a genuine trucker hat for like $5. And you know what? It looks better. You know why? It's a real trucker hat! It's a real trucker hat! Don't buy this Hollywood glamorized Von Deutsch trucker-esque hat because it looks like a trucker hat. Buy a trucker hat. If you're going to dress like you're white trash, wear the white trash clothes. Don't do the pseudo-white trash clothes. I'm walking around looking at all these kids, and they've got Von Deutsch t-shirts on and Von Deutsch hats, and I'm like, these are trucker hats. $5 at the 7-Eleven that's at the end of town, you could get your own trucker hat. Has even a neat little design on it. Maybe it says, welcome to colorful Colorado, or lefties are better lovers, or, you know, if I've fallen over, stand me up and I still need to drink more. All sorts of really neat phrases. But no, they've all got these really expensive pseudo-white trash wear. Ah, somebody needs to slap them. I couldn't believe it. They're all loitering, and I felt old, though. I still feel like I'm wandering around town, and I see these kids, you know, talking, and they've got the loud music, and I still feel like I was, you know, regressing. I'm going to start wandering around going, Hey, oh, Jesus, poor little kids, what are they doing? What are the things coming to these days? I don't know. I feel kind of old. Thank you for letting me get that off my chest. But we're also talking to you today a little bit about SUVs, gas prices. I came down from the mountains and saw people piloting those big, huge behemoths up and down the highways of Colorado. And I came to the realization that you really don't have any, the vast majority of people behind the wheels of SUVs have no idea how to drive those vehicles. No clue! I've got this jerk in a Yukon who has nothing else in the car. It's only himself, but he has like 7 doors on the car, and it has like 25 wheels, and he's sliding down, talking on his cell phone, and he's rolling around the corners, and he's going high on some and shallow on others, and he doesn't know what he's doing. He's not hauling anything. The thing's not dirty. There are no scratches on it like he's going off-road. It's different if you're going off-road. The people that live next door to us, the place I was staying in the mountains, we don't have the house next door, they had 2 giant Jeeps. And these are giant, like silly giant, the point where they've got those tires that are about 4 feet tall. I mean, these huge tires. But you know what they did yesterday? They got them all covered with mud because they went up into the backcountry and got dirty. They used them for what they were intended to. They're not driving around high, you know, Colorado. They're not driving around Denver in these giant wheels, not going anywhere. They're using these vehicles. I was just shocked at the number of sport utility vehicles that were not used for sport nor utility. Just as vehicles that I saw coming down the mountain. What do you think? 303-382-1150. Let's get to Rob in Denver real quick before we hit our first break. Rob, how are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Good.
I just wanted to respond to a call you took last hour about the guy who wanted to tax people who drive large vehicles for personal use.
Yeah, well, basically, it was like idea of a tax. What he was doing is, just to catch everybody up, the idea, and I think it was Jim that had the idea, I believe, that basically he said if it's a vehicle that is used for consumer, that is for, not consumer, but used for business purposes, he would give your, you know, license and your registration renewal rates for the vehicle at one rate, but if you used it for personal use, if it was only a transportation vehicle for yourself and your family, he would tax it at a higher rate. Is that who you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay.
So, and he used the example of somebody driving a big truck who goes downtown and punches keys for a living,
yep,
and then drives back to Castle Rock.
Yeah.
But what if the guy on the weekend wants to take his boat up to like Granby, and he has to get over Berthoud Pass?
Yeah.
And he needs a vehicle like that. Are you saying you have to have 2 vehicles?
In all honesty, what I would do, honestly, I would either say he should have it up there, he should have 2 vehicles, or does he necessarily have to have that, you know, that 1-ton van, and what does he have to do with
or
it?
Or how about he just drives the vehicle he wants to drive and you leave him alone?
Well, I think that to a certain extent, though, that him using that vehicle to and from the office and to and from is a vastly inefficient use of that vehicle. And I'm not going to sit here and tell him that he can't use it, but I will alter our economic system to tell him that there are certain times in which it will make it uncomfortable for
him.
So
you're going to penalize somebody for basically exercising the freedom that they have in this country to drive the vehicle they want to drive.
Oh, absolutely. We penalize people for what they want to do all the time in this country. It's what we do. I mean, we do it both internally and externally. We sit there and we tax what we want to discourage, and we subsidize what we want to encourage. I mean, we don't sit there and let everything run around based on a free market system. I mean, we like to believe that here inside of America that everything's free market, but look at the number of subsidies we have for all sorts of different types of businesses. They're not competing on an international basis. They're basically, we're subsidizing them so that they can, you know, sell their goods and services externally.
Well, I see a lot of government programs being subsidized, sure.
Well, not government programs. Look at not just government programs. You look at the subsidies for farmers and ranchers. You look at the cotton subsidies. They're outrageous in this country.
Well, yeah, I don't agree with that.
But that's what I'm looking at is the idea that we tax
him. Why should a guy who wants to take his vehicle up in the mountains on the weekends have to pay more because he's working hard during the week to enjoy his weekend? Why would you want to penalize him for that?
You know, Rob, it's a really, really good argument that you have, and this is the thing that I look at, though, and this is a weird one, is I looked at those vehicles going up and down the mountain, both when I was traveling this weekend. The number of vehicles that were using their boat to get up and down the mountain was minute for those SUVs and for those vans.
Well, okay, so, and instead of boating, say camping.
Okay.
I mean, whatever. So who are you to decide?
Well, here's the thing, though. Does he need his one ton van to go camping?
Sure.
No, he doesn't.
Why not? He has a bunch of stuff he has to put in the back of his car. He's probably got a family, and he wants to go in the mountains. What's wrong with driving a pickup?
That can't be done inside of, well, it's not a pickup, because a pickup truck, that's not necessarily a family vehicle, per se.
Sure it is.
No,
it's not.
No, well, that's, again, crew cab. That's a whole different style of a vehicle. We're talking pickup truck, which is, you know, the single cab, everything else. The crew cab has evolved because we want to have that utility as far as a vehicle. Right. There is nobody as far as a rancher that really will will tell you that a crew cab is really that much more efficient. It doesn't do what they need it to, and many times it ends up cutting down the bed load.
I know at least three families who drive crew cab pickups because they like to have their family inside their truck and a pickup truck at the same time.
But what do they use the pickup truck for?
Many things. And
like what?
One of them is going camping on the weekend.
Like, but they couldn't accomplish that inside of a station wagon? They couldn't accomplish that inside of a smaller?
Your definition of camping and mine must be two different things, because places I go camping, you don't take a station wagon to.
You sure can with certain types of vehicles. You can probably take the Audi All-Road.
Not the places I go.
You can probably take the Audi All-Road anywhere that you could take that same one-ton van, because that, again, was the basis that you were calling about earlier. So I'm looking at that idea of a one-ton van.
I don't know what you mean by one-ton van.
You're looking at a large Dodge van that doesn't have really an extra clearance, but it does have a larger axle and allows you to pull things up and down the mountain.
I'm talking about the example brought up was a F-150 crew cab or whatever.
Well, that's the one that we got to eventually. That's where we are right now as far as the F-150 crew cab. But then you look at that, and what would be if he wants to go up there and he wants to, you know, do that and he wants to drive around in the F-150 crew cab, and you know what? It costs extra to go up there and go camping. It also costs extra if you go up and stay in hotels, but that's going to be the extra cost of having that vehicle.
But let him pay it.
Yeah,
let him pay the extra cost.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Let him pay the extra cost.
But
if it costs him more,
don't penalize him unnecessarily.
No, see, this is the thing, Rob. I'm willing to let him pay the extra cost. You know what? If I want to go out and I want to buy what is considered a gas-guzzling vehicle, the government taxes me extra on that. So if I want to go out and I want to buy a large vehicle in order to make sure that I can get into the mountains on the weekend, I'm going to have to pay extra for that.
Right.
That is the cost of it. Yeah. So why
do you want to put an additional penalty on top of that?
No, see, Rob, what I'm talking about, that extra cost, I would put the extra penalty on top of that and say when it costs him to renew his license and renew his registration,
why?
It would cost him extra.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
He paid extra.
No, not necessarily.
Well, you just said he's going to pay extra.
No,
if
Rob,
he gets
see, here's the thing.
Gas-guzzling car.
No, this is the thing. No, Rob, I was drawing an analogy. I think you missed my analogy. The analogy I was using is you pay extra if you want to buy the gas-guzzling car. You also, in my mind, would pay extra as far as registration, licensing, etc., when you buy that type of a crew cab pickup truck. Yes, you would, because it is more of an unsafe vehicle. It uses more fuel.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Why is it unsafe?
Pickup trucks are phenomenally more unsafe than cars are. They have a higher instance of injury or death when you're actually involved in an accident. They have a higher instance of injury or death when you hit somebody else, and they also tip over more often.
I would say with that argument, you should also start taxing people who drive around Geo Metros, because whatever accident they're involved in, they're going to be the losers, and they're going to raise our insurance rates. And they're going to raise their medical bills, and we're going to end up paying for them.
So we better
start taxing people who drive Geo Metro, because they don't have enough protection.
That's a Geo Metro that I'm looking at. What I'm talking about is that 50% of the vehicles inside of this country now that are purchased are SUVs or trucks, and they are less safe than cars. That's the point of the argument at that point. They are just simply less safe vehicles. We buy them because we think that they are safe or they keep us safer, and they don't. The statistics do not bear that out.
Well, if the statistics were to maybe rate what happens when a car hits a truck, I may be able to make that argument with you, but none of the statistics say that. They all say what happens when a truck hits a car.
Yeah.
Well, show me one study that says what happens when a car hits a truck.
What are you looking at? I mean, what's...
Anything. Find me a study where the safety rating of a vehicle that's hit, of a truck that's hit by a car. You don't see that. You know, it's always if a truck hits the car.
Well, if the truck hits the car, the truck is involved in an accident, yes, then that
should be... No, it doesn't work that way.
Why not?
Because they don't rate them that way, because it's always, the bumpers on the SUV is too high, because when it hits a car, it damages the car higher up than it's supposed to be damaged. But you never hear it. What happens when a car hits an SUV?
What happens when a car hits an SUV?
I would imagine the people in the SUV are probably much better protected than the people in the car.
Yeah, they probably
are.
Which is
why people buy them.
But hang on a sec, Rob. So this is the thing, though, is that this is your argument. Out of everything that you're looking at, when a car hits an SUV, the SUV people are safer. But in almost every other instance, the people inside of that SUV are less safe. So people sit there and go, wow, I'm going to be safer in case a car hits me. I'm sorry, Rob, but that doesn't bear out. But this is the thing. It's a stupid reason to buy them, because that is one plank. If you go down all the planks as far as looking at SUVs versus cars, that is the only time that you can make the argument that the SUV is actually going to be safer than a car. In every other single instance, Rob, it is less safe. And so you look at this, and if people are buying it because they're safer, they're saying, well, if the car hits me, then I'm going to be more safe. But if they have to make an emergency lane change on the car, on the road, they're less safe. They're going to be more likely to be injured inside the SUV.
Well,
if they hit somebody, Rob, if that person behind the wheel of the SUV makes a mistake or the car in front of them makes a mistake and they hit that car, they're more likely to kill the person in that car. They're also more likely to injure themselves inside of the car.
But that's not what people think about when they think safety.
I know, Rob.
Nobody ever thinks about it's going to be my fault.
And I know, Rob, and that's the difficult part, is the idea that when we talk about safety, we never think that, one, we're going to make the mistake, but also if someone in front of you makes a mistake, Rob, you're more likely in an SUV to kill them or hurt them. So the other person's mistake, you're looking at that and going, wow, you know, even if they screw up or if I have to make a quick course correction or do something in my car's not
so
the SUV is not going to do that. It's not safer.
Let people drive what they want to drive and not penalize them for doing so.
You know, we do that all the time as far as penalizing people based on what they drive. All the time. We actually give tax breaks for people that buy hybrids. We don't operate on a level playing field.
But a person who buys a Jaguar is going to pay a lot more because their car's worth a lot more.
They'll pay a lot more as far as registration based on the basic value. But you know what? If they also have a large engine in it, they will pay a gas-guzzling tax. I have no problem turning around then and saying that because you operate a vehicle like an SUV, to say that it's going to cost you more to re-register that vehicle.
But when you buy that SUV, you accept the fact that it's not going to get very good gas mileage. That's not why you bought the vehicle. You bought the vehicle because you want it to work for you.
You know, we don't. We don't buy the vehicle because you want it to work for you, Rob. How many times you can walk? You can look around today and look at all the SUVs on the road. Look at all of them that are being used as workhorses, and it is a fraction of them. It is less than 25% that are being used as far as an actual utility vehicle, and that's
right.
The point. It is a sports utility vehicle. We drive them as a vehicle, not as a sports, not as utility. We don't use it for either one of those. That's why it's moronic.
I will agree that there is that out there, but I don't think it's a majority.
Oh, it absolutely is a majority. You can look around, you can see where it's being used, you can see where they're being driven. You can see that just as practical experience, and you also can look at a lot of the studies and see that. That's not what people are using them for. They're not, I mean, if you look at the SUVs and you made the argument of the pickup trucks and everybody hauling their boats and everything else up the mountain, you drive the mountain today, tomorrow, the next week, look at the number of SUVs going up the mountain versus the number of them that are hauling anything. And it is a fraction of the portion of anybody that's hauling anything.
Plus, they probably want four-wheel drive and all that good stuff. But anyway, the point is, don't penalize people for driving what they want to drive.
We do that already, Rob. You're just mad that I'm penalizing the people that you don't, that you like to drive.
No,
that's fine. We do that all the time.
We're penalizing the Geo Metros. We better start doing that because they're going to raise all our insurance rates.
There's a certain aspect of that I think that when you're driving the really, really tiny cars, that yes, there is also a penalty there because you're driving something that is made very, very poorly. But you also are driving something that many times is made very poorly inside of an SUV. I mean, you look at the center of gravity, Rob. You try to take that corner really quickly, or let's say that you're on a slick road and something happens in front of you, a young child. If you're driving down the road going about 40, young child runs out in the middle of the road to get a ball, you have to all of a sudden change to the left or change to the right. Guess what your SUV is going to go do? Either slide, not go where it wants to, or it's going to turn over and kill you. That's the point. It's a dumb car. I look at this, the engineering inside of it. You may like the fact that your friends can put things in the back and go camping, but they can do that in a lot of other vehicles. It's not because they only need the SUV to do it, or only need to have the SUV, or only need to have anything else to get there, or the pickup truck. It doesn't have to be done that way, Rob. And I have spent 5, 6, 7 days camping in the mountains of Colorado. You know what? Never got there with an SUV. You know what I did? Used my feet. We got to a point in which we stopped the car, got out, and what did we do? We walked. Imagine that. I don't have to drive my SUV up into the campsite. There's a point there. I like the fact, Rob, that you want to go out and you want to enjoy nature at a time in which you want to bring nature right up to your front door. Get out and walk. Walk your lazy butt to the campsite. I'm sorry that you're not able to drive right up, but you know what? It's the mountains. It's the mountains. It is supposed to be hard. Driving there actually defeats the purpose. If you're going camping, you can turn around and flip on the AM radio or sit inside of it. That's not really camping, is it? It isn't. Okay, got me a little riled up. Matt on the cell phone. They're going to have to talk to Matt here in just a second, and your phone calls, 303-382-1150. You know, Rob, you do make a good point. Maybe we do need to tax the Geo Metros because they're less safe as well. Okay, you make a car that folds like crap inside of a crash test? Yeah, okay, charge you more for that, too. Would that make you happy, Rob? Now we'll charge both cars a little bit more? Is that a good solution? I'll go with it. Will you sign off on it? 303-382-1150. 225 here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe for Enid Goldstein. We're back right after this.
As important to Denver as the Rocky Mountains, if we do say so ourselves. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Terracotta Warriors, a new action musical Terracotta Warriors combines extravagant dance and songs with spectacular martial arts in an unprecedented fashion. Adapted from historical accounts of the life of the first emperor of China, Terracotta Warriors is a story of rule by terror, loyalty by force, and love by decree. Fight sequences are intertwined with scenes of romance and betrayal as the power of the realm clashes with human passion. Elaborate costumes and sets come together with incredible surround sound effects and unique orchestral music to immerse the audience in the emotion, the drama, and the battles of the 2nd century B.C. The United States premiere of Terracotta Warriors is now playing at the Buell Theater through July 18th only. Tickets are available at All King Supers, online at denvercenter.org, or call 303-893-4100.
I'm having a hot flash.
Hey, girlfriend, this is Evelinda Erman and Judy Schwartz from Style Matters Live. You can win a free pair of tickets to join us to see the hysterical show Menopause the Musical, July 13th, 8 p.m. at the Denver Civic Theater.
Here's what you do. Email stylematters at knrcradio.com or write us at 1201 18th Street, Suite 220, Denver, 80202, and tell us what you love or hate about menopause. Deadline is July 9th.
Join us for Menopause the Musical, the hilarious celebration of women and the change.
KNRC and the Denver Business Journal present Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Sponsored by EKSNH Accounting Firm and First National Bank of Colorado. Now, today's Insight.
Shelley Lazarus, CEO of advertising giant Ogilvy & Mather, on doing the little things to show gratitude.
When somebody is about to leave any company, and my company in particular, it's because they feel they no longer have impact. And it's because they feel they don't make a difference. And it's because they feel that nobody actually cares if they stay or they leave. And so you have to recognize people and you have to say thank you. I don't think we say thank you enough. It's just simple human things. And I find, you know, writing people notes just when they've done something that you find extraordinary. I found out just the other day, I was in someone's office, and they pulled out a handwritten note that I had sent them 18 years ago. It just struck me all over again about how these little things that you just do spontaneously make such an enormous difference to people. And actually, as this person pulled out the note, I thought, I still have some notes that some people send to me. So I think it's all the human things.
Insights is brought to you by EKSNH Accounting Firm and First National Bank of Colorado. Look for Insights featured in the Denver Business Journal and at knrcradio.com.
I'm Mary Thompson, CNBC Business Radio. Nearly half of all injury and death claims filed by American contractors so far this year are for incidents that occurred in Iraq. In fact, of the 771 injury claims filed by U.S. contractors to date in 2004, 345 occurred in Iraq. And of the 66 deaths reported so far, all but 9 occurred there. The federal government will pay out millions of dollars for these workers' compensation cases, but many of the claims aren't your usual run-of-the-mill accidents on the job. There's the potential for workers to be kidnapped, killed, tortured, shot at, and blown up. Casualties are on the rise, and so are the insurance premiums. Federal law requires all U.S. government contractors and subcontractors obtain workers' compensation insurance for civilian employees who work overseas. If an injury or death claim is related to a war risk hazard, the War Hazards Compensation Act provides for government reimbursement to insurance carriers. Mary Thompson, CNBC Business Radio.
When I get one of my headaches, every minute of that pounding, throbbing pain is a minute too long. So when I take something, I want to make sure I choose the one that will get rid of that tough pain faster.
The moment of choice. Tylenol or Advil for faster headache relief. Truth is, Advil liquid gels rush relief to your headache faster than Tylenol. And Advil relief is stronger, better relief too.
Headache's gone already. Glad I chose Advil.
For faster headache relief, advance to Advil relief.
Great news from Viagra Sildenafil Citrate. Now there's a card that can get you Viagra for free. Introducing the Value Card for Viagra. With it, every time you fill 6 eligible prescriptions, you'll get the next one completely free. There's no other Viagra, and there's no other offer like this. To get your card, ask your pharmacist or healthcare provider, or go to ViagraCard.com. See the value again and again with the Value Card for Viagra. Go to ViagraCard.com today. Offer may not be available in all areas.
You know when you have a bad cold? How your ears get plugged up?
Somebody get him some water, please.
Well, then you miss out on the Doug Kellett Show. Afternoons at 3 on AM 1150. So clear your sinuses. Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett.
Weekdays 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kellett. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
And Doug will be joining you in just about a half an hour. He is the only regular talk show host that is working today at KNRC, so it's kind of nice that he's in. He's in his office looking at topics and doing things right now. 303-382-1150 is the phone number that you can use to chat with me. I went long in the last break, last segment, so we're going to go right back to the phones and talk to Matt on a cell phone. Matt, thanks for hanging through the break. How are you doing today?
Hey, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing good. What's on your mind about SUVs and everything else?
You know, I'm a Republican, and usually I support smaller government.
Yeah.
But inefficiency and waste affect everybody because when demand goes up, prices go up.
Yeah.
So if I'm driving maybe a hybrid, but I still got to pay more at the pump because all these SUV guys are creating demand, that affects me.
Yeah, it does.
So I think they should pay for that extra demand.
See, I understand what, you know, and where Jim was going when he called earlier. He basically was saying, you know, if you have a car that is used for your business, then he would charge you, you know, as a large car. He's talking about SUVs and large one-ton trucks and things like that and vans.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to penalize commercial.
Yeah.
Because that would drag down the economy.
Yeah, see, that's the thing with me that I always think, you know, and when we look at the idea of gas taxes and increasing them, there's part of me that says, okay, that's part of it is good, but I don't like lots of taxes, but the idea of what it does to the commerce area of it is, you know, rather than the recreational driver, and that's where I'm real sticky is. I don't want to make sure, I want to see, I'm the type of person that I know I lean a little bit more liberal than most people out there, but I feel I'm slightly liberal socially, but I'm not a favor of large taxes, and I'm also one that wants to get government the heck out of the way as far as commerce, and I want to keep them, you know, out of the pocket of the small businessman, especially, is I want to make sure that the small businessman has as many advantages as possible so that hopefully one day he can become a big businessman. And
what's more anti-corporate than the small businessman?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, nothing.
Yep. I know. So I like the fact that you kind of look and see the ideas behind this. Now, when you're looking around and you're driving around the roads, Matt, you look around at the SUVs, do you see any of them that are being used a lot of the times for towing and hauling and used for the things that we're supposed to, that, you know, our last caller, Rob, was saying that they need to use these trucks for? I look around, and I don't know, maybe your experience is different than me. I don't see these vehicles being used for that, and that's the problem I have with it.
Most of them is one guy.
Yeah.
And I snowboard.
Yep.
I know it's a lot of them. You see, like, a Suburban, one person in it, and then he's got a ski rack. Like,
yep.
He couldn't fit the skis inside the car.
Exactly. I look at that and go, ugh, just makes me nuts going up and down the mountains. I saw that all the time. Matt, I appreciate the phone call. I want to make sure that I squeeze Peter in a cell here before the next break. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Peter, thanks for calling on AM 1150 KNRC. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm still alive, and listening to you is the bonus of the day.
Oh, thanks.
The logic is extremely convoluted, except when it serves your own needs. Let's just extend what you were talking about with the gentleman prior to you. If you look at a guy driving a Porsche or Lamborghini or Corvette, they're not doing it for utilitarian purposes. 99% of the time, they are not going to exercise the full potential of that car.
Correct.
The guys buying the SUVs are doing the same thing. It's mostly status and emotion that drives the economy. It's got nothing to do with logic. If you're really interested in safety, you'd cut the speed way down. You'd drive the economy crazy. You're killing 40,000 people a year in cars as it is. And then you're going to try to level the playing field? That's a spurious claim, but it's always mouthed by people who are trying to pretend they're looking out for the little guy. The logic of an economy is it's emotion driving everybody's purchase. You know, in America, we have the luxury of not having to work because we're starving. We all have a pretty good life compared to lots of other countries, for goodness sakes. And so our emotions buy the fashion. Do we need a $100 pair of sneakers? No, we don't. But it's status driving all of this stuff. So you should get your logic kind of unraveled with your own emotions about this. Obviously, you're cheesed off about these guys driving these Cayennes and these Lexi and all of this other stuff. Well, okay, that's fine. Be cheesed off, but there's no economic basis behind your being cheesed off.
What do you mean there's no economic basis behind it? There, I think there is an economic basis behind it.
It's your problem. You're not going to solve any of this by, you know, taxing or penalizing somebody. It's like taxing people who smoke, and then the government says, oh, gee, we're going to assign the penalty of taxation to a health program. Well, we've seen them do that through the extortion of the tobacco industry. And where did those funds go?
Well, here's the thing, Peter.
They didn't go to the health care industry. They went to bail the governments out of idiotic economic policies to begin with.
Yeah, so that can be an issue as far as how we use the tax money. But the idea that we had the tax money, you know, at its outset, you can't throw stones at that. We wanted to do it with, we wanted to do, you know, better health care and such
well,
with the taxes. But we turned around.
Politicians allow you to do are two different things.
You're
and
absolutely
one
right.
Never coincides with the other.
Not necessarily. Some, a lot of times it does not. But the idea behind this country. Now, again, if you're saying that if I just by simply. Hang on. Wait, Peter, hang on a second, though. What you're saying here is that the idea that we have that taxing something that we disagree with and subsidizing something that we do agree with or we want to encourage simply doesn't work. That's basically what I'm hearing out of your mouth, that it doesn't matter how much we tax or put any onerous taxes on SUVs or large trucks, that people will continue to buy them. And if they want to, they can. But we can also shape that based on how much we tax them, because people probably won't be able to do that.
One industry over another. You're going to favor one.
We do that all the time. Peter, we do that all the time in this country.
You don't have to fight it another way. You're trying to tie a knot into a series of knots already. It won't help it. It gets worse. What you have to do is get rid of all these damn subsidies.
Well, there's part of that all the subsidies, getting rid of them, I would like to see that, because I think that we level the playing field, but we do it all the time as far as subsidizing. I mean, there's no reason we should be subsidizing the cotton industry in this country like we do. There just simply isn't.
There's no reason to subsidize any of it. If it's a real free market, which it's not, it's an emotional market driven by manipulations of everybody involved in it. If it's a real free market, it should have no incentives that are pushed by the government.
You're absolutely right, Peter, but unfortunately, and all for all the talk that we have in this country about we love a free market economy, we don't have it inside of the U.S.
So we don't have it anywhere.
I know that, but hang on a second. I'm just worried about what we're doing here in the country right now. We can talk about it elsewhere in a second, but since we don't have that pure free market here, what is wrong then by turning around and taxing the people that drive the SUVs and the big, you know, one-ton trucks, etc., for pleasure? If they're using it for work, we can give them a break because they're using it for work. But what is wrong with making those people pay higher when they're renewing their licenses?
The guys that are buying the $150 sneakers when their families can't afford the $20 sneakers. What's wrong with?
But that's again, Peter. You're getting mad at me for being an emotional argument. You're making an emotional argument there. You're making an emotional argument saying what's wrong? Why can't we tax the guy that's buying $100? Wait, hang on. That's saying the $150 sneaker for someone. No, it's not, Peter. It is not. I'm not worried about taxing the guy who's buying the $150 sneakers and he's not feeding his family. That's him being stupid. I will allow him to be stupid. I'm not going to prevent him from being stupid, but I will put an extra cost on him being stupid. I will put an extra cost on him being stupid, and I will put an extra cost on someone being stupid when they want to buy the big truck rather than buying the smaller truck when they don't need it.
So
yes, I can tax that and make that stupid.
It's going to determine usages.
Pardon me, what?
Are you going to have a committee that determines who's driving what for what purpose?
You know, this is something that was brought up by Jim. I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea. I didn't think about planning committees or anything else.
There's a huge government bureaucracy that's going to take 80% of those funds and piss them away.
You're wrong about them taking 80% of the funds, but come on. What is it the government does other than create a bureaucracy? Can you name any bureaucracies in the last 15 to 20 years that we've eliminated? Any of them? Whether it's a Republican or a Democrat?
More instead of creating.
But if you turn around and you say that yes, that we have, that you're looking at lower government, the Republicans turn around and say that they're creating less government and they're less government, but then they turn around and create something like the Homeland Security Department, which is nothing more than larger. Government does not contract, it expands almost universally. So sitting here and getting mad because I create one extra program or because I'm behind the idea of creating an extra program, which I, you know, if I wanted to ferret all the little details, we might be able to work on that, but I'm not that worried about that, Peter. I'm looking at the idea that it seems on the surface to be fairly smart if we wanted to turn around and take SUVs and other large vehicles that are used for recreational purposes and tax them more. People that have the money and have the means to buy the supercharged, very fast vehicles that use a lot of gas, we also tax them more. They get a gas guzzler tax. It costs them more. That happens. I have no I don't see why there's a problem moving that over into the recreational SUV buyer. And I think that also might be able to change our buying habits, because Lord knows, since we are emotional purchasers, we aren't going to change them by ourselves. And I'm not saying that we need to protect us from ourselves, but there are times in which we make bad purchases and maybe we can take advantage of that. There's nothing wrong with that, Peter. We don't need to have a totally open free market inside of America. I think it would be better if we actually could kill a lot of the subsidies and might be better for us. But the funny thing is we all always forget also inside of the free market system that what the market wants and what the consumer wants isn't necessarily the best thing. Think about pet rocks a number of years ago. Do you think that we needed to have all of our resources going towards pet rocks? We sure bought a lot of them. We sure did do a lot as far as moving the economy. But what was the entire gain? No, it wasn't the best thing for the consumer to be buying a lot of pet rocks. But we allowed them to do that. We allowed them to be stupid. And they spent their money. I will allow people to be stupid, but sometimes I'll charge them more to be stupid. I don't think you should have a problem with that, but maybe you do. 303-382-1150. Thanks for the phone call. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150, KNRC. And now it's time for a man who always says his newscast needs to be subsidized and goes around the newsroom asking for donations. It's Tim McLaughlin.
You bet.
How you doing?
I need every penny I can get.
Those donations going pretty well for you today?
Not today. There's nobody around.
Ah, jeez. Well, what's going on in news?
It's partly cloudy and 84 right now. Aurora police are investigating a gunfight last night. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic. Here's Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Emergency equipment trying to clean up a rollover accident eastbound on C-470 between Bowles and Kincarroll Road. Nobody injured, thankfully, but it will take a few minutes for that vehicle to be not overturned, but righted from its overturned position. Again, that's eastbound C-470 between Bowles and Kincarroll. Everything around town still much lighter than usual because of the holiday. We're starting to see a slight decrease in volume of traffic coming in out of the mountains. Last car count for the Eisenhower Tunnel was about 2,700, and that's about 200 cars less than it was at 11 o'clock this morning. Scandinavian Designs has the information. Now you can save up to 50% on selected furniture for your home and office. Visit Scandinavian Designs in Denver on North Wadsworth Parkway or on Hampton Avenue. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Shots were fired last night at a picnic at Lowry Community Park, leaving one person dead. Witnesses say two people took off in an SUV, although the descriptions of that vehicle vary, so police are continuing to question witnesses. Two other people were shot. Their wounds do not appear to be life-threatening. This report brought to you by Melody Homes. Fire investigators are sifting through the ashes at the Corona Village Apartments in Adams County. The complex caught fire early yesterday morning with 24 units damaged or destroyed. Eight people were taken to the hospital. Investigators say they're looking at fireworks as a possible cause of that blaze. Frontier Airlines is 10 years old today. The airline celebrated at Denver International Airport today with gifts and music for Frontier passengers. The airline started with two planes and 180 employees. They've now grown to have a fleet of 46 planes and 4,500 employees. D.R. Horton, America's Builder, Melody Series, great incentives, no down, no closing cost programs available. Visit MelodyLiving.com or call them at 866-MELODY-H. We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 244.
If a picture is worth a thousand words, imagine the value of a thousand words. AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC.
Since we'll all be checking out someday, it's comforting to know we'll be in good hands.
Pray to God we didn't get any new bodies last night because I'm just not in the mood.
It's the Monday Night Hits on A&E, beginning with a new episode of Family Plots.
I grew up with dead people in my living room.
Then check in for an all-new episode of the hit series Airline.
I want to go home.
I understand that, sir. So
do you understand nothing?
Sir. Monday night, check out a brand new Family Plots at 9. Then check in to an all-new Airline at 10. Two hit series beginning tonight at 9, 8 central, only on A&E.
I'm Jonathan Anton, owner of Jonathan's Salon, which can be seen on Bravo's reality show, Blowout. Take it from me, stress can make you lose your hair. I don't know this because I'm a stylist. I know it because I'm a small business owner. Fortunately, I also know which products promote healthy growth in both hair and business.
With Open, the Small Business Network, Jonathan Anton has the tools to make big things happen. You can too, when you have an American Express business card. To apply, call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Taking a look at the KNRC weather forecast, partly cloudy skies, scattered showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon and this evening. After midnight, it'll be mostly cloudy, a continuing chance of some showers around 50 for tonight's low. Mostly cloudy to start the day tomorrow, chance of some showers becoming partly cloudy later with some scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. Mid to upper 70s for tomorrow's high, partly cloudy and 82 now. KNRC News Time is 2:45. I'm Tim McLaughlin, our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at Velcaro.com.
Told us you needed more traffic reports during the morning and afternoon commute, and we listened. AM 1150 KNRC now provides you traffic reports at least 5 times each hour during mornings and afternoons. After all, we are the third worst traffic city in America. AM 1150 KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:47 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Bill Thorpe, sitting in for Enid Goldstein. Enid will return a week from today. Phone number is 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Talking with you today a little bit about SUVs, gas prices, and it's been fun to see where the conversation has gone. I ran across another study, though, I wanted to share with you quickly. I'm seeing this over in the British Isles. Taking a look, and they have done a survey. I'm trying to look and see who did the survey, but basically researchers watched about 60 hours of food programs from Britain, the U.S., and Canada. You know, those things you watch on the Food Network or whatever, is where you have, you know, Wolfgang Puck or Emeril or someone else that is teaching you, who is it, there's the naked chef and a whole bunch of other guys, is that Asian guy, and they all are cooking food and telling you how to prepare food. The funny thing is, these researchers watched 60 hours of the food programs. They found that for every example of correct food handling, there were approximately 13 food hygiene errors. Typically, 7 mistakes per program handling, cleaning, and prepping food. So these programs that we were watching as far as to see how you cook these food, how to cook the food and how to prepare these food, is actually more likely to give you things like E. coli, salmonella, and other really fun bacteria that's all so much fun when they get into your stomach and your lower intestines. One of the worst examples that was uncovered in the study was conducted by a Canadian chef who swatted a fly during a program with a knife. And then he continued to use that knife to chop vegetables. Another chef hung some dough to dry on the kitchen taps, and of course those faucets, that's where all the germs are. There was another chef that was observed squeezing lemon with her teeth. Now, they do say that sometimes, you know, the food chefs are involved too much in flowery language and not actually taking care of the food itself. But the weird thing was that failing to wash their hands, 75% of the programs, the chefs never, ever, ever washed their hands. And that's not just the beginning of the program. That means when they're going from one type of food to another. Let's say that they are preparing raw fish and then turn around and start doing the vegetables. Should wash your hands. They don't. They also, for 72% of the time, failed to separate things like raw fish and other fresh foods. Other mistakes that they saw, wiping down chopping boards with raw meat wrappers, tasting the food with the spoon, and then using that same spoon to continue to either stir the item they're preparing or to use that spoon to add other ingredients. You just kind of look at this, and it makes me kind of sick. I don't, just to think about the things I'm supposed to be watching these TV programs and telling me how to go ahead and to prepare this, but they don't. So swatting a fly with the knife and then using it to continue to prepare the food? Blech, I don't know. I think it's about the last time that I'm going to be watching some of those food programs as well. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I don't know if you'd seen this in the last couple of days. Evidently, I'm getting a report now that Attorney General John Ashcroft is going to say that we're basically collecting some credible evidence that the terrorists are going to be planning some attacks on the country, but not necessarily the way that we're used to. I mean, they're looking at some ways to attack us really at the core of our values. And Ashcroft is saying that we have to prepare ourselves because we are probably going to see over the coming months a rash of terrorism attacks, and they're going to hit us really the best way they know how with spectacularly gay weddings. Mr. Ashcroft has been quoted as saying, there's little doubt these evildoers intend to hit us hard, and the best way they absolutely know how with very spectacular and flamboyantly gay weddings. Ashcroft has said that the Department of Justice did not know where or when these weddings may take place, but did add, you know, quote, when the terrorists are planning a gay wedding, they don't necessarily send you an engraved invitation. The Attorney General did say that according to chatter intercepted by the Justice Department, there can be no doubt these weddings will be the gayest ever. But just a little bit after that, I hear that Tom Ridge, head of Homeland Security Department, is saying that, well, on the surface, there has been some increased chatter in terrorists and in terrorism networks, but it's been no gayer than usual. There's been some regular gay content, but, you know, basically Americans should go about their business and not fear the spectacularly gay weddings that may occur, and, you know, because they're going to hit us in our values and what we care about the most over the next couple of months. Yeah, I know, tongue-in-cheek. I know, I caught that tongue-in-cheek. What did you think? 303-382-1150, I'm Bill Thorpe. I was running late in the last break, so I wanted to fill a little bit of time here before I stepped aside. I'll see if I can wrap up the phone calls and the SUVs and the other topics right after this. I'm filling in for Enid Goldstein. She will return a week from today. I'm here with you for the rest of the week. T.R. Reid may be here, and we'll see who else makes an appearance on the Enid Goldstein Show. But I'm back right after this on AM 1150 KNRC.
He's looking out for you.
Listen.
Bill O'Reilly, weekdays at 10 a.m., exclusively with the Radio Factor on AM 1150 KNRC.
D.R. Horton, America's Builder Melody Series. Great incentives, no down, no closing cost programs available. Visit MelodyLiving.com or call 866-MELODY-H.
Since we'll all be checking out someday, it's comforting to know we'll be in good hands.
Pray to God we didn't get any new bodies last night because I'm just not in the mood.
It's the Monday Night Hits on A&E, beginning with a new episode of Family Plots.
I grew up with dead people in my living room.
Then check in for an all-new episode of the hit series Airline.
I want to go home.
I understand that, sir. So
you don't understand nothing.
Sir.
Monday night, check out a brand new Family Plots at 9. Then check in to an all-new Airline at 10. Two hit series beginning tonight at 9, 8 central, only on A&E.
The odds and ends that live under Dylan's bed come to life in the Arvada Center's children's theater production, The Monster Under the Bed, playing June 15th through July 29th in the Arvada Center's outdoor amphitheater, ideal for children ages 3 and older. This original musical production is the entertaining story of clothes and toys fighting to survive as Dylan cleans his room. For more information or for tickets, call 720-898-7200 or visit www.arvadacenter.com.
Don't sell it or trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE or go to taxdeduction.com.
The only Denver radio station that covered in person the observances surrounding the memorial service of former President Ronald Reagan.
We're right near the Capitol, and today, of course, the funeral service of Ronald Reagan, his body now on its way to California, where
Jimmy and Doug broadcast their shows live from Washington, D.C.
Ronald Reagan did something in his presidency. He made you proud to be an American.
A new generation of talk radio is AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
254 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. I want to take a minute to tell you about KNRC and how we're proud to present the City of Lakewood Sounds Exciting Summer Concert Series out at the Lakewood Cultural Center. The Lakewood Cultural Center is out at 470 South Allison Parkway, kind of near the southwest corner of Wadsworth and Alameda. Concerts are on Wednesday nights. They start at 7 o'clock. Gates open at 6. For more information, go to botanicgardens.org or 303-987-7876. 303-987-7876. John Chandler and the Witchtones are coming up this week. Chris Daniels and the Kings are coming up on the 14th. I actually was out there and saw the Windy City Jazz Band a couple of weeks ago. So it was kind of nice to get out there. The Queen City Jazz Band. There we go. I knew I got it wrong when I said that. It's the Queen City Jazz Band. I was out there a couple of weeks ago and saw them perform, and that was a neat thing. So maybe you can get out there and check out the Sounds Exciting Lakewood Summer Concert Series. Want to go right back to the phones, 303-382-1150, 255 here. Got about five more minutes with you until Doug Kellett joins us. And we'll go back talking a little bit about food. I think that's what George wants to talk about. George, how are you doing today?
Just fine.
Good. Did you want to call about the food thing that I just read?
Yeah. How much do you watch the Food Channel?
I watch in passing. I mean, I like the Mark Summers show, Unwrapped. It's kind of weird because it kind of gives me that, Mr. Rogers feeling, because he always used to have little film strips and say, look, this is how crayons are made. This is how food is made. And so that, I kind of like that.
Oh, it's a little too much.
Yeah.
But I told you, the one you talk about getting grossed out.
Yeah.
They prepared the food great.
What?
But it was the tools they used and the stoves were old. Did you ever watch... And one of the gals died about 2 years ago in England, the two fat ladies.
Yes, I did. I have seen that one, yeah.
And they would both be two ugly fat ladies.
Yep.
I mean, and they'd be smoking in the cigarette ashes, ripping off their cigarettes. And they've got these 500-year-old stoves, and they're cooking a meal.
Yep. Oh, geez.
And some of the fat, like they'd line a whole bowl with double-thick bacon and put something in it and make a pork pie or something.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, geez, I can feel the heart attack right now. And I don't know. I've always felt bad when I watch those Food Network shows because they always make me feel incredibly inadequate, because for the first 5 minutes, they show me all the stuff that I'm going to be able to make, and we get five more minutes into the show. I'm 10, 15 minutes into the show, and I know that I can't make this.
You know what I think is funny in the show I like is it's completely fun and to put on. And it reminds me of an old Godzilla movie.
What? I'm going to see that.
The Iron Chef.
Oh, that is fun. That is a fun one.
I think 90% of the time they lose stuff in the translation.
Yep, exactly.
And the Japanese the panel that judges.
Yep.
Oh, that Eye of Newt tastes very delicious.
Yes.
And this is the best he's ever prepared it. How many times, girl, have you had Eye of Newt?
I know. That's like you think. How many times have you had, you know, the like frog's tongue boiled stew? I know. It's like, geez, yuck.
And did you ever see some of the tools he chef's use?
Yeah, they look like things that are almost like medieval torture devices or old dentist tools.
Well, they had one chef that had a blade on a knife at least 6 feet long, and the handle was another 6 feet long. And he was filleting tuna with it.
Oh, geez. Now, I want to know if I can get that at Bed Bath & Beyond. Can I buy one of those? I don't know if we can.
No, but the way they the stuff they cook, and then the comments, and even the two commentators who you never see are trying to translate this in English from Japanese.
Yeah.
I swear something gets lost like a bad Godzilla movie.
I'm sure it does. Hey, George, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. Oh, I always have problems when I'm watching those Food Network shows, because they do. They make me feel very inadequate. That's why I stick with the like the Mark Summers stuff, where it tells me how the stuff is made. Because I know I'm not making that stuff. I know that that's something I can deal with. But then we always go through the idea of watching those shows. And I always do. It's just like the guy, the painting guy. He used to be on PBS, and now he's gone. They got the puffy hair who'd make the happy little trees. I swear, I always thought that I could paint. After I watched that show, I thought I was going to be like Mr. Painter. I'm going to sit there, and I'm the next Michelangelo. And then, you know, you actually start trying to do some of that stuff next time. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't make my trees look that way. I couldn't get three-dimensional. I couldn't make the mountains look that way. Not like I went out and bought a whole bunch of paints, but I'm talking about the stuff that, you know, little kid stuff that I had at my house. And I'm thinking, hey, I can do this. Let me see. And I cannot. Did nothing but, like, increase my anxiety about not being good enough. I did that and that in the food shows, because I'm never preparing anything that they have on there. And I never have any of the ingredients. Never. You always have some sort of a bizarre ingredient that you have to fly to, like, Bombay in order to get. You have to have, like, you know... You have to have something like, you know, steamed and pressed squirrel droppings is going to be the garnish for this item tonight. I don't have that. How am I going to get that? Where am I going to go to get that? I don't know. Maybe that's just some of my anxiety that I'm feeling about this. Well, Doug Kellett is coming up next. 303-382-1150 is a phone number if you want to squeeze in the last few minutes here. We're just about out of time on the Enid Goldstein Show. I will be with you for the rest of the week. Enid will return on Monday. Hope every one of you had a safe and happy 4th of July. We'll see T.R. Reid will make some appearances. I might be back tomorrow. We'll see who else will drop in before Enid returns on Monday. I appreciate Darren Gabbert for hanging out with me for the last few hours because, you know, he and I were the only ones in the building for a while. That and some guy on KCUV who both of us had never seen before. So, you know, we figured, I don't know, maybe he was homeless. Maybe he just found his way into the station. Hope you have a safe time out there on the roadways. Be careful. I'm Bill Thorpe. This is AIM 1150 KNRC.
hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jeannie Ohm. Five people have reportedly been killed in a U.S. airstrike on a house in the Iraqi city of Fallujah. It's part of a search for the network of Jordanian militant Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. NBC's Kevin Seitz is in Baghdad.
Now, the military believes Zarqawi may be in Fallujah and has vowed to strike him and his supporters whenever and wherever it can. He's the most wanted man in Iraq, and there's a $25 million price tag on his head right now.
It's a familiar refrain, are we there yet? AAA says almost 40 million people took a long trip by car this holiday weekend, and now they're packing the roads on their way back home. There really is a National Liars Hall of Fame, no lie. The museum in Dannebrog, Nebraska is said to attract about 2 million people a year. Items on display include a two-way hammer, seeds to grow your own cow, and an electric nose picker. But look for a drop in attendance because of the presidential election. Seems it's harder for amateur fibbers to compete with the professionals. I'm Jeannie Ohm, NBC News Radio.
How to load the family vehicle for a 4th of July vacation. Step 1. Measure the allotted cubic feet of storage space. Step 2. Measure the cubic feet of family possessions to be loaded into said storage space. Step 3. At all costs, avoid saying the seven unmentionable words.